you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3. Bad boy! 4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It's time for Captain. And it's time for me.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Southern California.
Yes.
Good morning, Iraq.
Yes.
Good morning, vagina.
I'm not saying yes. I'm saying hell yes.
And now. Our feature presentation.
That's probably the funniest thing that's going to be on the show all day today. That's it.
Really?
Oh, why we already peaked. It like that? We already peaked is what I'm saying. We already peaked.
By the way, Lisa, Kevin there early today, for the first time ever, he heard that Puff Daddy opens our show in the morning. He didn't even know that until just about 1 minute ago.
I was like, what is that 1, 2, 3 thing?
What never is heard that? That part before.
I was shocked to hear your voice when I walked in.
How dare you? I am a professional broadcaster.
Did you go in and just sleep there? Is that what you did?
Yeah. After the game, you went right back to the radio station and
slept? Slept.
No, what happened was I got here Thursday in Miami, and then Thursday night I did some drinking, and then Friday night we did a lot of drinking, and then Saturday night just did a lot of drinking.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I'm never going to drink again.
So last night, what is the point you're leading up to last night, you decided, okay, it stops now and I don't drink?
It just, I can't. I will die. So we went back to the hotel and just had sex. Or whatever.
Whatever it is you do.
Well, this is one of those cities. This is one of those cities that is like Las Vegas in that if you're here, you have to literally leave to stay alive. Otherwise, you will kill yourself.
Oh, yeah.
No.
It's too fun. There's too much drinking to do. There's too many bars. There's too many hot chicks. It's just not good for anyone.
Well, they rolled out the red carpet and the parties and everything for Super Bowl weekend, obviously. There was, 10 times more going on than usually is going on in Miami Beach, which is enough to kill you.
And celebrities everywhere and parties everywhere and long lines everywhere and free booze everywhere. It's not good for anyone.
You know what was weird about the celebrities? And I was thinking about this because in Super Bowls past, it seemed like you've seen more celebrities at the game. And
yeah, that's true.
There were virtually none on TV yesterday, with the exception of, when they are promoting an upcoming CBS show. But I was really surprised that we didn't see more of that going on in the pregame and stuff like that. It just seemed celebrity light, at least to the TV audience, and considering they were all there.
Yeah, I only saw it's impossible for me to know in the stadium what's on TV because they do a lot of off TV stuff. But there were just I saw Fergie, I saw John Travolta, Ashton Kutcher, and Demi Moore, and that's about it.
Yeah, we didn't see
any
of those people.
Did you see anyone else?
No.
Oh, you didn't see any of those people?
No, none of those people were even on TV. Although, you probably didn't see this, but for the TV audience, they had Billy Joel singing the national anthem. How weird is that?
Yeah, that was in the house, too. And by the way, who needs more plastic surgery or had more makeup on than him in his life? He was fake. He was like a Hollywood wax museum.
Was he? Really?
Yes. I was looking at him going, he's got to be 100. And
he
and he's got a ton of makeup on.
Yeah.
And yeah, he sang the national anthem. I don't know how
He sounded fine, though. I mean, he was all right, right?
If you closed your eyes, sure.
I guess, for him.
He was okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, really, I think only black people should be allowed to sing the national anthem at sporting events.
Because they do it so much better.
Yeah, so much better. I mean, it pumps it up. It makes it exciting. I mean, you get your, like Whitney Houston, probably the most memorable one from a number of years ago. But that's how the national anthem ought to be sung.
Yeah, but she's on crack now. Hey, Jose, that hot chick is there by the back door. We got to let her in. Seriously, look at her. She's doing a little dance. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the one. No, that's not the one. That's not the one that said she was a virgin. No. She was going to have sex with somebody. No, that was somebody.
Kevin
else.
Has a whole new family now, Lisa.
I know. Miami.
Jose's my new friend, and I'm not coming back. And except for the part where I'll die if I don't come back.
Exactly. Except for that. So,
and I would. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear what, where
I
that was going.
I think he's right. We peaked.
I'm still a little hungover, so this is not going to go well. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay. Right.
Just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC. To catch a predator.
Yes.
Oh, too early?
You want me to say the Monday, the February, Ola, 5th?
Apparently.
Chris Hansen to catch a predator.
I have the Asperger's. I have to do things in order, or I can't.
I know, it's true. You can't.
You can't move forward.
Right.
I'm obsessed with Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. I think we all are. And we're going to talk to him just after the top of the hour. Unfortunately, Ralph is out sick today.
Aww.
Because I think Chris Hansen's going to drive Ralph to an early grave.
I think so, too.
He's a little smarmy, and he plays with them before he kills them, basically, is what happens with that.
He's a cat who has the mouse firmly in his paws and knows that he's going to eat it, but it's just a question of how much am I going to torture my food before I take a first bite.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk to him just after the top of the hour, I already have a request, Bean, of somebody to see if we still have the audio from our internet predator friend, Chip.
Oh,
so we need to
try
and find that.
All right.
Because whoever sent that to me thought that he was on To Catch a Predator, which I don't think he was he?
No. He wasn't. But the guy you're talking about is a guy we know who ended up being involved in trying to, you know, seduce and get together with young girls on the internet. And whoever contacted him, the adult playing the teenager, I think, contacted him, is the same kind of group that works with Dateline NBC to try to ensnare these child predators to come to the home. But I don't think, you know, we never even heard if Chip got arrested. I sure hope he did. But unfortunately, no, he was not on Dateline NBC because we'd keep that one on our TiVos for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah. That would be amazing.
I have a little bit of the audio, if you guys want.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, girls. It's Chip. There's something for you I think you'll like. You like that? Oh, this freak.
Oh, my God.
At least it's smart to use your real name and city, too, when you're on making those kind of videos for 13-year-olds.
That guy was so, and we worked with him for like 4 or 5 years in New York when we go there for MTV, and he's such a gigantic loser. I don't know where he gets that swagger
from. That confidence,
Kevin would come back from New York and tell me about Chip before this incident happened. He would tell me about what a sicko he was and kind of how weird a guy he was.
Very weird guy.
Uncomfortable to be around.
We'd talk about chicks and stuff, and he was like, oh, yeah, what I do to her. And you go, where are you getting that from? You're a complete dork. But anyway.
Internet.
Yeah.
Chip!
We also have Patrick Warburton coming up today from his new show, Rules of Engagement.
Great.
Love him.
Yep.
Got a complete recap of the Super Bowl and the halftime performance of Prince stroking it. That's good.
Very high marks for Prince. Some going so far as to say it's one of the best Super Bowl halftime show ever.
I thought it was. It's as you know, I've learned to not trust my view on that because when you're at the game, it's completely different than on TV. And there were a lot of times when I thought it was a decent halftime, and B would say it was awful. It didn't translate at all. So I've kind of learned to discount my own opinion on that. But I thought it was pretty well done, especially considering that we're in the middle of a hurricane.
Yes.
And it was raining like I've never seen before.
He turns out to be an unbelievable live performer and always has been. And he rocked it. It was a bizarre choice of songs he included in his medley. And we'll play some of that for you later on this morning.
Yeah, that was really strange. He's doing Foo Fighter songs and all kinds of weird stuff. So that's coming up this morning. We tried to get Dewan to watch SNL because his girlfriend was the host, but Dewan can't be counted on to watch anything.
It's so funny. He last week texted Bean 1,000 times, desperate.
I need to meet Drew Barrymore.
I
gotta meet her.
She's hosting Saturday Night Live.
So we call him and we give him a heads up. Dewan, she's hosting Saturday Night Live. Will you please watch it and recap it for us? And he writes back that he was going to be in San Diego. So
where
he said,
well, that's impossible.
Don't have TV.
They don't have TV there. Go on. He's the worst stalker ever.
He really is.
Drew Barrymore, but will not watch her on any project.
Yeah, all you have to do is get up off the couch and turn the TV on and see her for free for 90 minutes, and we can't even get him to do that.
Exactly. Can't do it. Plus, we'll talk about heroes tonight. Wait till you find out who the cheerleader's dad is. You saw the mom. You were shocked by the mom. Wait for the dad tonight. Have you seen those commercials? Your life will end as you know it.
Exactly.
Tonight's heroes. And also, we're going to tell you at 7:15 about K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 6. We are continuing to roll them out, and at 7:15 this morning, we'll give you a little recap of what's coming up at destination number 6.
Great.
So stick around for that. We're going to come right back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Ooh. What about tickets to go see the Grammys every day this week on the Kevin Devine Show? What about that?
Plus, we have tickets to see the Grammys every day this week. What about that?
All right.
Exactly. That's coming up on the World Famous K-Rock. I wonder how former sports guy Money is feeling today. Do you think he's the kind of fan who will say, you know what, it was a great season and I enjoyed every minute of it, and how cool is it that we went to the Super Bowl for the first time in 21 years? Or is he going to be devastated because they were that close and then couldn't win?
So is he going to lie or not? That's what you're asking us.
Well, you know,
I don't know. That's a good question. Ralph usually seems to be able to pull that off. That whole, mm-hmm. Hey, we had a great season. We came close. We played well. We shouldn't have been there anyway. That kind of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, Money, you know. He's shaky at best.
Lisa, I know you didn't watch the game, but it was not even as close as the score suggests. Indianapolis won by 12, but they just manhandled the Bears. I mean, they had the ball more than twice as much as the Bears did. There was one point in the game, Kevin, I don't know if you caught this stat or not, but between when the Bears handled the ball, when the Bears were on offense in the second quarter, to when they were on offense for the first time in the third quarter, because of the halftime show and everything else and how long Indianapolis had the ball coming out of the halftime, there was 56 minutes that Rex Grossman in a row wasn't in the game.
No 56 kidding. Minutes.
Tell me that's not going to ice you a little bit,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my God.
It's probably good considering he threw two interceptions that were pretty much up for grabs in the second half. He's a bad quarterback.
He looked like a young quarterback who's got a lot to learn about patience coming up. Anyway, we'll talk more about the game and more about the commercials and more about the halftime show and everything else coming up. First, though, Ralph is out sick, and we are going to be here for you today with the Showbiz Beat. There's a lot of relationship news in Hollywood today. Lisa May, I don't know how you'll feel about this.
What?
But I know assistant producer Super Whore Alex is very excited that Ryan Reynolds, actor Ryan Reynolds, back on the market. He is split with his longtime girlfriend Alanis Morissette.
I
don't get this guy, but the chicks love him. They were together for 4 years, engaged for the last 18 months. No word on why they broke up, but apparently they have broken up once before, got back together, but this one looks like it is for good.
That's too bad. But I'm not his biggest fan by a long shot. I don't get it either, really.
Good, because also, that doesn't make any sense.
I like her more than him.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Also, the chicks totally love, Alex just texted me, sweet, it's on. She's going for it. The chicks also love this guy, this Olivier Martinez. Do you know the guy who was in Unfaithful? He's the one who had the affair with Diane Lane in Unfaithful.
You don't have to tell me that. I totally know who he is.
Yeah, he's also
hot.
SWAT. He apparently is one of those Latin lovers. He's been with Kylie Minogue for a long, long time. They just split up, and the reason I bring this up, I love this, is that Kylie's statement is that her boyfriend was the most honorable man she's ever met, and they'll remain close friends, of course. But then the London Sun says that they broke up because he was seen all over Los Angeles with women while Kylie was back home in Europe. So,
wow.
I don't know what her definition of honorable it is, but if it's bagging Americans while he's on this side, you know.
You need to be married to a woman like that. Oh, he's honorable. Yeah, he's out with every whore in the town.
No kidding.
Exactly. And one more relationship note, and I had not heard about this, but Johnny Knoxville apparently getting a divorce. He's been with his wife, Melanie, for 11 years, and they just separated.
Yeah. What a surprise, you know.
Can't be easy being married to anyone on the Jackass team. Let's face it.
Did you guys watch the Bam Margera show over the weekend?
I didn't see it. Was it good?
Yeah. Oh. You got to be out of your mind to marry him, don't you?
His fiance
She is hot, but he meets her family, and she's like, oh, it's great to have you in the family. And he said, oh, really? You're going to accept me into your family? And she said, yeah, we're honored. And he said, "You must not know me." It doesn't make any sense, but it's a fantastic show because he just does the opposite of what guys are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that rules. So you got to check it out on MTV. Movies over the weekend. The number one movie was Little Scary Kids, The Messengers.
Oh, no kidding.
The debut, $14.5 million. Because I Said So was number two with $13 million. Somebody refresh my memory on that.
Because I Said So.
That's the Diane Keaton one.
Oh, yes. Look, it looks bad on all levels.
That looks awful.
It does.
Number three was Epic Movie, $8.2 million. Number four, Night at the Museum. Number five, Smokin' Aces. Number six, Stomp the Yard. Where are you from? Number seven, Dreamgirls. Number eight, Pan's Labyrinth, which you both saw this weekend.
We both saw that, yeah.
Yes.
Me and I. I loved it. I thought it was an amazing movie.
It is. It's terrific, and it is unlike anything else you'll see at the theater this year, I think. It is. You know, it's weird because if you see the commercials for it, the two things you don't know. One is it looks like it's a fantasy movie like a Narnia, like something that might be good for the kids. Kevin,
right.
don't be fooled by that. It is not for the kids. It
not
has
for the kids at all.
Extreme and shocking violence in it. Wouldn't you agree, Lisa?
Absolutely. There are adults that shouldn't go see this movie.
And two is, I knew this because I had read about it, but my wife had no idea until the movie started up that it was in Spanish. Because in the trailers, they don't exactly go out of their way to mention that it's in Spanish, but
I don't think I knew that at all.
I was slightly surprised, and yet somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought, oh, I think I must have known that this was subtitled.
Yeah, it must be nice to be able to lie to yourself like that.
But it is a remarkable film, and it is the type of movie, at least for me, Lisa, that I still find myself thinking about. I mean, there's
absolutely
some scenes in it that you just go, wow, that was something, you know?
Yeah.
So good.
Number nine movie is Pursuit of Happiness, and number 10 is The Queen, and we need to start the countdown for Norbit, people. Comes out this Friday. Come on, Norbit.
Oh, it's going to shoot right to the top.
Eddie Murphy plays a big black woman.
Exciting story.
Yeah, I know. We got our fill of Eddie Murphy Norbit commercials during the pre-show yesterday. They sure were happy with Norbit, weren't they?
Yes, they were. They love themselves the Norbit.
Here's another awesome story from Hollywood. A lot of people may not know the name of actor Ryan O'Neill. He was a huge movie star in the 70s. Still works today. He's been on Bones. He plays Lynette's father on Desperate Housewives. He's, you know, if you watch that show, he's, you know, even still working today. He is in jail this morning. He was arrested on Saturday at his Malibu home after he fired at least one gunshot at his son, who is also a very fine actor, Griffin Dunne. And his son's girlfriend. I don't know what the fight was about, but he's booked on charges of assault with a deadly weapon and negligent discharge of a firearm.
I heard his son was swinging a fireplace poker around. It actually grazed Ryan in the head, and he grabbed his gun in order to, like, make him back off. And somehow the girlfriend got injured, but I never heard how. Like, if she was grazed by the bullet or what?
she wasn't shot, but I don't know. That's awesome.
I want to party with them.
I know. It's so white trash.
Speaking of people arrested, I'm sure you saw this, but this guy in the Chewbacca costume.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy down in front of the Grauman's or something, the Man's, whatever they call it now. Yeah.
Grauman's Chinese Theater. People dressed as various movie characters, they posed for pictures with tourists. And one of the tour guides asked this guy that was dressed like Chewbacca to stop bothering these two Japanese tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy started screaming. Chewbacca lost it. He was yelling at me. He says, "Nobody tells this Wookiee what to do." And then Chewbacca headbutted him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He headbutted him. They called the police. The LAPD show up. They put Chewbacca in handcuffs, take him away in a car.
That's heartbreaking.
They contacted somebody from Lucasfilm who said, "We are disappointed that someone dressed as Chewbacca would behave in this way."
This is on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yes, right out in front of Grandma's Chinese.
Do the K-Rock microphones need to go interview him about his ordeal?
I believe they do. I mean, I don't know if he's still in custody or what. I think this happened over the weekend. I don't know. But that's what you want right there. You want Chewbacca headbutting somebody. That's fantastic.
Who do they have down there? I know they have Marilyn Monroe. You can get your picture taken with. Spider-Man, I think, is usually down there. Mm-hmm.
They have Black Guy Robot Guy.
Yeah, he's still there. Chewbacca, that's awesome. I haven't seen the video or the pictures, but did he have his head still on when he was handcuffed, or is he wearing the costume with the head off?
I haven't seen it either, but I heard it was on the cover of the LA Times that they put it right on the cover of Chewbacca getting arrested.
That's awesome.
That
out. Couple more notes. If you're wondering if this is the year that Martin Scorsese will finally win his Best Director Oscar, it looks like it's heading in that direction. More evidence over the weekend. The DGA Awards were handed out, and Martin Scorsese won for directing The Departed over the directors of Babel, Dreamgirls, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen. And that's a real indicator of the Oscars right there, because, as you know, the directors vote for the director. So it looks like it's finally going to be his year. And I love this. Car crashes are the new black, this article says. Apparently, the hot new trend in Hollywood is to get into car accidents. Now, you don't want to be in one as serious as Brandy's. I think that one probably causes more trouble than the publicity. Mm-hmm. But, right. You know, she was in a crash recently. Paris Hilton has been in a couple. Nicole Richie, Lane Garrison from the Prison Break. Apparently now Amanda Bynes involved in a multiple car collision Wednesday night in Beverly Hills. You'd recognize her if you saw her, Kevin. She's one of those teenage actresses.
Oh, I know her, yeah.
All the movies, yeah. And apparently she was very nice and no wild scenes. She exchanged details with the drivers, remained calm, didn't throw a tantrum. No, don't you know who I am? No denying it. Just took care of business and moved on.
That's not even a story, Bean.
No, but so she disappointing. But she her agent got her an accident. Hey, good news, I got you an accident. You need to be there over the weekend. Yeah, just run into the guy. You'll be fine.
It'll be in all the papers. We'll get some nice pictures. Wear something cute. I can totally see that.
Do not wear
happening.
A Chewbacca outfit, though. Whatever you do.
Today's celebrity birthday is a terrific actress. Jennifer Jason Leigh turns 45 years old today. Also, Barbara Hershey is 59. Christopher Guest, 58 years old today. You know him from all of, all those improv movies that he does. But I saw The Princess Bride again over the weekend, which is one of the all-time great movies. And you forget how young and dashing he was back
then.
Who
was he in The Princess Bride?
I don't know the character's name, but he was.
I had no idea he was in that. I love that movie.
One of the major guys.
No
the one
kidding.
Who gets tied up to the chair at the end. That one.
Oh no, kidding! I had no idea.
Christopher Guest.
Did you call him young and dashing?
He was back in his heyday. Yeah, as a young.
I just
actor,
wanted to make sure that's what you called him. Young and dashing.
And really, the celebration of all times today has got to be going on at Bobby Brown's apartment or trailer or hotel room or car that he's living in. Wherever Bobby Brown is today, happy birthday to you, Bobby. He is 38, and that is the K-Rock Showbiz News. All right, it's Monday morning in the Kevin and Bean Show. There's a new episode of Dateline NBC's To Catch a Predator, I want to say, coming up on tomorrow night yep. at 8 o'clock on ABC. NBC. If you guys haven't seen this show yet, it's been on for a couple of seasons now, but it is fantastic. Chris Hansen is the journalist who has won Emmys for his work. And what they basically do is they work closely with this group that is on the chat rooms all the time. And they basically suck in older men who are looking for, you know, young hot ass. And they text back and forth and pretend to be these teenagers. And then they set up, hey, come by my house. My parents are going to be gone on Friday night. Come by my house. Well, and then the house is surrounded by the SWAT team and Chris Hansen is inside. And he just has the time of his life because he's got all the cards. He knows the police are outside. He knows they're on camera. He knows there's nothing these people can do. And he just toys with them. Here's a clip before we talk to Chris Hansen himself.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to go get my hair ready. I'll be right back.
Take your time.
I'm excited, by the way.
So you excited too?
Okay, so
I love that.
The decoy, who's an 18-year-old actress who's playing 13. Yeah, I'm just going to go get my hair done. I'll be right back. I'm excited, and the guy's all excited. You know, he thinks he's about to score here. And then Chris Hansen steps out from behind the curtain. You excited too?
Hey, sounds like you're also excited.
He is having the time of his life. He loves this stuff.
How you doing?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What's wrong?
I'm sorry.
What's wrong? He asks. Well, I was chatting with a 13-year-old girl, and now a guy with a camera crew just stepped out. What do you think is wrong, Chris Hansen?
Please have a seat.
I'm sorry.
What were you doing here?
She said so excited to see me.
She said she was excited to see you.
Listen to his tone of voice.
she said she was excited to see you.
Yeah.
I want to show you something.
Sir, please.
You sent her that photograph.
Sir,
did you send that to her?
Okay, as this won't surprise you, it's a picture of his penis that he sent to the girl. Okay?
And by the way, Chris always knows the answer to that. He's got the photo or whatever the guy sent. So when he says, did you send this picture, he knows for a fact that the guy sent that picture.
Bingo.
Yes, sir.
To somebody who said she was a 13-year-old girl.
My God.
Why did you think that was an okay thing to do?
Sir, she said it's okay.
She said it's okay. So because a 13-year-old girl says it's okay, you do it.
Sir, please, I'm not a really bad person, sir. Please.
Do you ever watch television?
Okay, this is the other thing that Chris does that I love. Chris loves the fact that he's on Date Late NBC, and he loves the fact that most of these guys who walk through the door have seen the show. They know all about To Catch a Predator. And by the way, this particular episode that we got this tape from last week was in Long Beach, where there were even, you know, people were posting online warning other predators out there, hey, Dateline NBC is in town. They're setting up a sting. Be careful out there. So he knows there's an excellent chance that these people know all about him and know all about his show, yet they still show up.
Yes, I know, sir.
You know what?
The show, sir.
The show.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen the show on television?
Yes, a couple of times.
A couple of times. And you know what the show is called?
Dateline.
Dateline what? To Catch a Predator.
Yeah, he's drilling that guy. Well,
it's and what do you think of my performance on that show? Am I good?
Let's find out. Chris Hansen on the line from Dateline NBC again. To Catch a Predator returns on NBC tomorrow night at 8:00. Mr. Hansen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we're such fans of your show, and we were just talking ahead of when you come on that you have all the cards when those guys walk through the door. You can just play with them like a cat playing with a mouse, can't you?
Well, you know, we have the advantage, obviously, of having read the entire chat log, so we know from start to finish, you know, what the conversation has been. We know what's the way this guy is thinking, so absolutely we have the advantage. We also
but that's what's that, that's what's funny is that you when you ask the guy, did you send this photo to that girl? You know that ahead of time that he did, and you're just so toying with that guy. It's awesome.
Well, I think it's not so much toying as you want to get to the truth here, and you want to find out what this guy was thinking, and you know what makes a guy suddenly decide to, you know, have a chat with a 12, 13, or 14-year-old kid online and then, you know, get in the car, go buy alcohol, bring condoms, and show up for a date. I mean, what makes somebody do that?
We're totally with you on that. I mean, these guys are the scum of the earth.
Yeah, but God bless your show for catching them, yeah.
You toy with them a little. I mean, you ask them, what'd you eat for lunch? Oh, great. That's a nice sweater you've got on there.
Like that cookie?
Nice car you drove up in. You know, it's fantastic work that you guys are doing, and it's terrifying to me, Chris, to see how, like in Long Beach, for instance, the episode that aired last week, you guys were set up for, 3 days down there, right?
Correct. And you know, Long Beach, our eighth investigation, and we had the second highest number of men show up in any of these things.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you ended up arresting something like 40-something guys, and that's just, you know, that's just a tiny, 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 minute fraction of the amount of this kind of conversation, this kind of meetings that are going on across the country. Do you feel like To Catch a Predator has helped parents raise awareness for figuring out what their kids are doing online with conversations like this?
I think that the two best things we've done are raise awareness and create a dialogue between, you know, parents and their children and between teachers and students. And to get this discussion going in a positive direction in terms of, okay, look, you got to be careful because if you're chatting with somebody who says they're a 14-year-old boy and they send you a cute picture, that doesn't guarantee that is even a boy or he's 14 or that he's cute. Could be a 53-year-old man sitting in the basement in his underwear, you know, trying to pick up kids. And you just have to know that. If that happens, come tell me as your parent. And I promise I won't punish you. I won't take away the computer. We'll work on this together.
Well, one of the things that I have not seen addressed on the show is, obviously, these guys just pull up in front of the house, the Sting house. They get out. They walk in the front door. They're not searched or anything like that. I mean, you are in some danger not knowing whether they're coming packing heat, right, Chris?
Well, we have a lot of security precautions in place, you know, to protect us from that situation. I'll give you an example. For instance, when we were up in Petaluma, California, we had a guy who, in his conversation, talked about how he carried a weapon everywhere he went. And, you know, out of concern for safety, you know, we let the police arrest him before he came inside the house. Right. In fact, he did have a shotgun in the car. Now, you know, we don't know if he would have ever tried anything with it, but, you know, we just didn't want to take the chance.
Sure. Chris Hansen is on the line. We're talking about Dateline NBC. A new episode of To Catch a Predator airs tomorrow night. One of the other things that I haven't seen on the show, Chris, that I'm hoping you can help me with is you always talk about how the guys pled, and usually it's no contest or not guilty to the crime. But I don't get a sense for what the punishment is for what it is they're attempting to do. What usually happens to most of these guys that are arrested on your show?
You know, it's all over the board, and it depends on, you know, what state and how those laws are. I mean, there are some federal laws that are pretty pretty aggressive. And I'll give you an example. You may recall in our second investigation, there was a rabbi who showed up.
Yes.
And
ultimately,
he was prosecuted. He had a bench trial in front of a judge in federal court in Maryland, and he was found guilty of two counts and sentenced to 6.5 years in prison.
Right.
Partly, the judge said, because he felt that the rabbi had lied on the stand. So that's federal time. He'll do, you know, just about all that 6.5 years, and then he'll be on 10 years supervised probation. We have seen sentences as low as, you know, time served and probation. You know, a lot of this depends on, you know, who the guy is, you know, what experts believe is the chance that, you know, they'll be repeat offenders. So you can't, there's no one-size-fits-all punishment here. It depends on, you know, the guy and the background and you know, what he was really up to.
Do experts really think that they just, this is a one-off? Like, oh, yeah, I never did that before. I'll never do it again. I learned my lesson.
Well, I think some of these guys are probably that way, honest to God. I mean, I think some of the younger ones are opportunists who figure, okay, well, here's a 13-year-old girl open to the idea of sex. I'm only 10 years older. You know, what's the difference? You know, it's, you know, they're going to go for it. I think there's another category of guys who have developed addictions and compulsions on the internet and suddenly find that they can't see this line between reality and fantasy anymore.
Right.
And they, the only thing they'll satisfy them is this face-to-face meeting with a teen. The other third are the guys who would always be doing this stuff, with or without the internet, who'd be in the park or the school grounds or the movie theater.
It certainly is eye-opening, and this happens frequently on your show, where someone will come in who has kids the same age or even older than the kids that he's going to have sex with. You just can't get your head around how somebody who's a father of a 13-year-old girl would ever think of doing that to somebody else's kid. You just can't even believe it's happening.
Well, we had a guy in Long Beach, for instance, in this current investigation. You know, he's out doing his job, which involves some travel. He had been online from his office with the decoy posing as a young teenage girl, and on his way to go, you know, pick up his kids to take him to, you know, karate practice. You know, he stops in for a liaison with someone he thinks is a 13-year-old girl.
Oh my God.
Yep. Last question, Chris, because we're almost out of time on this end. What did you think when the guy showed up last week that you had already previously stung on a previous To Catch a Predator episode?
Well, I couldn't believe it. You know, this guy showed up, you know, in the chat room, and we knew who he was, same screen name and everything else. I thought, well, there's no way this guy's actually going to show up. And sure enough, I mean, he was chatting with the decoy on a Friday, couldn't show up because he had a court date in the previous case.
Oh, my God.
Daytime, Saturday night to show up. And, you know, I walked out and said, you know, we've had this conversation before.
Oh, my God.
Caught him before. That's unbelievable that a guy would get caught twice using the same screen name, the same. I mean, what a moron. You ever want to just reach out and just strangle them?
Well, sometimes you just want to say, what are you thinking? And sometimes I have. And sometimes that actually elicits a pretty honest response.
Well, you are doing excellent work on the show. I know you guys have arrested, what, over 150 or more than that even, guys?
We're above 200 now.
Wow. Very, very impressive. And, you know, as serious a topic as it is, we're having some fun with Chris when he came on. It's really funny to watch because you love, who doesn't love seeing somebody else like in the white hot glare, the white hot spotlight, and they know they're sunk. And it's fantastic to watch how they react. To Catch a Predator, new episode of Dateline NBC tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on NBC. Chris Hansen has been our guest. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, where's your, hot, Miami Spanish chick this morning? Has she showed up yet, Kevin?
No, not yet.
Okay.
She was here on Friday. We're broadcasting from Miami today and Friday. And she was here on Friday. She said she was a virgin and that she was going to come back in on this morning and have sex with the DJ in the next studio. So I said, okay, then I need to be in there.
You need to be the DJ in the next studio. Yeah.
I might have to leave at any moment. I'm just going to let you know right now. I'm just going to stand up and walk out if the need arises.
Okay.
If you need to get the job done. Kevin is in Miami because he was at the Super Bowl yesterday. So I don't know how much or if any of the pregame you were able to see. I don't know where you were wandering around outside of Dolphin Stadium or not. But as you know, Kevin, at a Super Bowl, they have hours and hours and hours of quote-unquote entertainment going on before the big game starts, right?
Right, right.
So some of it doesn't make any sense. Like, they just got 5 hours to fill on the pregame show, so let's put Stevie Nicks on to sing a song. I mean, well, what's the tie-in to Florida? What's the tie-in to football? What's the tie-in to the Super Bowl? How does Stevie Nicks end up on the CBS pre-show for the Super Bowl? I don't know either, but at least she knows how to sing. Check this out. This is taped from about an hour before the game yesterday.
It's a pleasure to introduce a musical legend in Stevie Nicks. She'll be touring this spring with Chris Isaak, but you can catch her right now as she performs her hit song, Stand Back.
The very timely Stand Back, by the way, from 25 years ago. Now, Stevie Nicks has always bleated like a sheep, right?
Yes.
Oh, I just despise her singing.
Never
I despise
has she
it with everything in me.
This good. Are we? Is this American Idol? Come on.
That is
dude,
not
she's
good.
Always sounded like that. That's what she sounds like. That's why she's awful.
I was thinking, now this party has started, man. Now that Stevie Nicks is singing Stand Back in 2007, now we're rocking.
Wow.
I just hated everything about her. I didn't get to see much of the pregame. Thank goodness, apparently.
They had a little filmed tribute of two of the South Side of Chicago's most famous rappers. Kanye West and Common did a rap together that they wanted to sing about their beloved Chicago Bears, and I thought it was interesting.
It's Common and Kanye West, Super Bowl 41. Now I know how the soldiers feel, because this year we went to war, got a soldier feel.
Wait a minute. Hold on a sec. Hold on. You cannot rhyme how the soldiers feel because we went down to Soldier Field. No.
Yes. Yes, you can if you're him. If you're Kanye West,
that.
You can.
I reject that as a rhyme. I'm sorry. Too easy, Kanye. Too easy. And as you know, from everything that's ever taken place in Miami, it doesn't matter whether it's a college football game or if it's the MTV Video Music Awards or in this case, the Super Bowl. Apparently, it is illegal to hold any kind of event where people show up in South Florida without inviting Gloria Estefan.
And welcome back to Dolphin Stadium, everyone. It's a privilege to introduce this multi-Grammy award-winning superstar, Miami's very own Gloria Estefan.
What is the deal with that, by the way? No one has cared. No one has played a record. No one has bought a record. No one has heard a record by Gloria Estefan in 20 years, yet she has to be at every single Miami event. What's up with that?
Dude, there's a good reason why no one's heard from her, because she's awful.
But you know what I mean?
It's like these people think, oh, let's see, Miami. What's some kind of oh, Gloria Estefan, sure, book her. And there's no thought. Nobody says, no, she's bad. And she hasn't been around in 25 years.
And nobody
years.
Says, yeah, no one cares about her. No one wants to see her on TV.
Hello from sunny South Florida.
She says in the pouring rain.
Hola. Tonight we are here to celebrate the high energy fusion of South Florida and football. That's a hot combination, isn't it?
Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
I hate her. I hate her so much.
And one more clip from the pre-show. Gloria Estefan was out there introducing some sort of a Cirque du Soleil show that they were doing. Did you see this from where you were sitting, Kevin? Could you see what they were
doing? No, I did not know. Nope.
It's just a bunch of people like dancing out on the field doing some sort of abstract expressionist art or something. And here's a little bit of the narration that went along with that. And bear in mind, couldn't be raining any harder.
Here we are in paradise. Uniting rhythms make us one. Passion's fire fills the air. Enjoy the beauty of the sun.
Oh, yeah. The beauty of the sun.
Yeah, beauty of the sun. I've never been more wet in all of my life than I was yesterday.
Hey, that's what she said. 6:34 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got more highlights from the Super Bowl, including stories from a man who was there, our own Kevin, when we come back on the world famous K-Rock. So Kevin is in Miami. He was at the Super Bowl, so that means you probably TiVo'd the game at home. So when you get back to California, you can go watch all the commercials, right?
You know, I'm not a big commercial fan. I don't really go back and watch commercials.
Really? They're kind of fun. There's stuff you might not see again.
They do roll out a lot of new stuff for the Super Bowl, and they take it pretty seriously because it cost, again, this year around $2.6 million. You know, we were talking to KFED a few minutes ago. His commercial actually ended up being pretty good. I mean, you had to sit through 20 seconds of him rapping, unfortunately. But you did enjoy seeing him as a fast food worker. You were at least happy to see him in a job that he's more suitable for.
Right.
It was a glimpse of the future.
Yeah. Exactly. The very near future, I think. I just think, let Budweiser do them all. I mean, I don't know how they do it. Have you heard about the Rock, Paper, Scissors one yet, Kevin?
No, I haven't, no.
So fantastic. Playing Rock, Paper, Scissors for the last Bud Light, and the guy literally pulls out a rocket and creams the guy right in the face with it.
That's funny.
The guy said, I threw paper. He said, well, I threw a rock, which is very, very funny. There was a Snickers commercial that a lot of people are talking about with two guys fighting over a Snickers bar, and they ended up both having half of it in their mouth and then leaning forward, eating further and further into the candy bar until they kissed.
Oh, Psycho Mike loved that one.
Yeah. He loved that one, yeah. There was, apparently the fist bump is out, the face slap is in. That was another Bud Light spot. People going around just smacking each other in the head instead of, Lisa, I know you like the one. Did you see the one with the rabbit clicking the mouse? The Blockbuster one where they were using an actual mouse as a mouse was very funny. But I think, and something else that was kind of weird about the commercials this year at the Super Bowl, this is the first year I can remember there weren't any big summer movie commercials. Usually the Super Bowl is where you see your Independence Day or your War of the Worlds, or I think Spider-Man 2 maybe was, last Super Bowl. There were
Norbit.
Well, they did have Norbit in the pre-show. Yeah, exactly.
Norbit.
But where was, Spider-Man 3? I mean, that's what you would expect to see during the Super Bowl. I didn't see a single movie ad. There were a bunch of promos, of course, for CBS shows, and I just have audio from one to play for you here, and it was great. David Letterman, wearing his Indianapolis Colts jersey, snuggled up on the couch eating popcorn with his girlfriend, Oprah Winfrey, wearing her Chicago Bears jersey. Here's the audio.
You want the Bears, and I want the Colts, but we both win because we're in love.
Honey, don't talk with your mouth full.
I'm sorry.
David Oprah sitting on the couch away from her girlfriend.
That's funny.
Very, very funny.
Yeah, I can't think of Oprah that way. As anyone's girlfriend. Can you imagine that? By the way, she's got a 64-year-old woman that strips today on her show, if you want to watch that.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about the movies over the weekend. The number one movie over the weekend was The Messengers. Debut weekend. Little scary kids always do well. $14.5 million. Number two was Because I Said So, which looks like maybe the most annoying movie ever at $13 million.
Yeah. Is that the one? Is Mandy Moore in that also,
yeah.
Lisa?
Yeah.
Mandy
Moore.
Okay. Oh, she's
that's
so
a really
pretty.
Good cast.
She's so pretty. She's so I love hot. Her. She's the best.
I'm too tired, though, to watch that
Mandy,
movie.
Mandy, you want to go to Disneylandy?
That's right.
Number three was Epic Movie, $8.2 million. Number four was Night at the Museum. Number five, Smokin' Aces. Number six, Stomp the Yard.
What the hell are they doing?
The Stomp in the Yard. Where are you from?
I could listen to that every single day and laugh. Number seven is Dreamgirls. Number eight, Pan's Labyrinth, which both Bean and Lisa saw this weekend, and give four collective thumbs up.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely, definitely worth checking out. Very, very different than anything else you see in the movies right now.
Number nine, Pursuit of Happiness, and number 10, The Queen. And don't forget, this Friday, ladies and gentlemen, start your countdown for Norbit.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy plays a giant black fat woman.
This is your new Stomp the Yard. Now that you've seen Stomp the Yard, I think all your attention is focused on Norbit now, right, Kevin?
You know, though, Stomp the Yard was one that I was really going to go to because I found it bad funny, but this just looks awful. Let's be
just
honest.
Just bad, bad.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it yet. We may have to get Mr. Jimmy Kimmel on the phone, but apparently there's a clip I got to look up on YouTube. Did anyone hear about Andy Dick getting forcibly removed from the Jimmy Kimmel Live show on Friday night?
No.
I didn't.
Apparently he was on as a guest, as was Ivanka Trump, and he wouldn't stop touching her. Apparently he was just couldn't keep his hands off of her. And I gotta look for the YouTube video. I suggest you do the same before it gets pulled down, which seems to be the trend these days when everything good gets up on YouTube is pulled down. I also don't know if there's video of this, but I would have liked to have seen it. One of your people, Kevin, partying in Miami in town for the Super Bowl, our old friend Steve-O from the Jackass was down there.
Yep.
He was at the Miami club called Mokai. Have you heard about that one? Was that a big buzz over the weekend?
Hanging out with who? I'm sorry?
Hanging out with his friends for about an hour, and then he had to pee and either was too drunk or didn't care to go to the men's room. So he just relieved himself right there on the bar.
Oh,
excellent.
Nice.
That's what you get with Steve-O. No, I was at a restaurant. We were eating dinner, and the upstairs is a really bizarre thing. They were giving salsa dancing lessons. And we saw Steve-O across the room, and I was like, I got to go get Steve-O and take a salsa dancing lesson with him. How funny would that be? And by the time I got over there, he was gone. He just vanished into thin air.
Well, apparently you were lucky because you would have gotten peed on had you stuck around. But apparently security was on him and dragged him out of the place before he even had a chance to zip up. I mean, it all happened that fast.
Oh,
but he's
come on.
He was asked to see the parking lot.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people here. Kid Rock was here over the weekend. We had a lot of celebrity sightings. Apparently, Kid Rock and Pamela Anderson's divorce has gone through now. It's official. They can date other people, which is good because that's what that was happening over the weekend.
Yeah.
Kid Rock was wearing a... Kid Rock was wearing a Broadway Joe Namath jersey, which I thought was a bold move on his part because it's really, it's really bizarre to see that around here.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ralph is out sick, by the way, in case you're wondering. He'll be back tomorrow. Bobby Brown turns 38 years old today. This cannot be a happy birthday for Bobby, I would imagine. I mean, is he living in a car? Have we heard? Where is he? What's he doing now?
I don't know.
I haven't heard at all. I mean, yeah. It's been a long time since he earned his own money, hasn't it? A long, long time.
Yeah. Well, he had a short-lived New Edition reunion a couple of years ago, but I don't think that did exactly big box office. Terrific actor, writer, director, producer Christopher Guest turns 58 years old today, and actress Jennifer Jason Leigh is 45. That's the Q-Rock Showbiz Beat. If you're watching the Super Bowl yesterday, you know there's a new program debuting on CBS tonight with our pal Patrick Warburton in it. It is called Rules of Engagement. It's on at 9:30 tonight on CBS Channel 2, which I think is right after Two and a Half Men. Patrick Warburton back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin, Bean, Lisa?
Hello.
No way, great. Bean, are you still up in Seattle? Is that where you live?
Yes, sir. I am.
You
are? Yes. Why do you ask?
You want to visit him?
You're an eccentric fellow. All right, listen. Yes.
You are so right.
Hey, Patrick, saw you on TV, saw you at the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that works. Does the network come to you and go, all right, you and Spade and Hudson, get on a plane. We need to give you a big shout out during the Super Bowl. How does it work?
Yeah, well, no, I had the gear spinning early on when I knew we were CBS and CBS at the Super Bowl. I thought, listen, they got to do a little cross promotion here. And by the time I called our producer, he said, no, we're already on it. You guys are going to the game. And that's just one of those sweet little perks. But I've never been to the Super Bowl before, and I loved it. I loved sitting every minute sitting in that rain. I just, you know, we were on the 50-yard line. We were 18 rows up, and I couldn't believe it the whole time I was there.
Kevin is in Miami. He's on with us right now, too. He was also at the game yesterday. Kevin, you said you've never been wetter, right?
I've never been more wet in my entire life. In the shower, I'm not that wet. But there's such an energy there. Like, for some reason, like Patrick said, it's just the most amazing thing. You, in any other circumstance, would be completely miserable. But
yeah.
For some reason, there were so many changes in the game and stuff. It was just wild. It was really fun.
Bring on the rain. Can you believe? I think Spade actually went to the Super Bowl to see Prince because he ended up leaving in the third quarter.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Really?
Can you believe that?
No.
That should not be allowed. They should make him. They should make him sit there.
Did you have any? Did you care who won the game, or were you just there for the thrill of the Super Bowl?
Oh, you know, I didn't have a dog in this hunt, but so to say. But I just wanted a good game. It was a great game. I wanted Indy. I was rooting for Indy. I just, you know, I like Indy. I like Chicago too. I just, you know, it's the I wanted Indy.
Well, and everybody loves Peyton Manning too. And there's no football fan who doesn't want to see a guy like Peyton Manning who genuinely seems like a nice guy.
Absolutely none. Dungy's a great guy, and you know, and also being a father of four, you know, this man suffered tragedy like no person ever should last year. And they're a class organization, so how can you root against this team? You just can't. I'm not from Chicago, so you know what? I was really trendy.
Before we move on to talk about rules of engagement tonight at 9:30, since you were at the game, you did not get a chance to hear it, but I have the audio, Patrick, of when they showed you and your co-stars on the CBS telecast yesterday.
Married, engaged, or single, if you play the game of love, you've got to know the rules, and don't miss the premiere of the new comedy Rules of Engagement tomorrow after Two and a Half Men on CBS. David Spade, Patrick Warburton, Oliver Hudson. Rules of engagement.
What's the matter? You know, if the show was a hit already, they'd be in a suite. But, you know, right now they make them sit in the stands in the rain.
Nice.
I would not have traded that seat for anything in the world because up there you're too far away from the action. And we were 18 rows up at the 50-yard line. I did not want to change my seat with anybody.
Yeah, David Spade would have in a second, though. That's the problem.
He's a little metro.
let's talk about the show, Patrick. You know, it's funny. I generally, the CBS comedies are not my flavor. There's nothing wrong with them. I just have never really gotten on board. I never was a huge Raymond fan or a huge Two and a Half Men fan. There's something about the CBS sitcoms that
I don't think Raymond would appreciate that very much if he heard you say that.
I love him. He's a great dude. I just, for some reason, never. But I saw the promos for your sitcom, and I got to tell you, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone. We've had this conversation before. You're one of those guys, Patrick, who makes every show that you're on better for it. I mean, you really are able to take sometimes okay material and make it great. And that's a real compliment to you.
Well,
I really do.
You know what? You're very kind. But We got you. That's really a sweet thing to say, brother, and I appreciate that. But I've been fortunate to work with good writers, and I am once again. I mean, we got Tommy Hertz, our showrunner, and this is great, and Happy Madison, Adam Sandler's company, is the one producing it. So we've got a really, really good team, and we've got a great cast, and David adds funny to everything he does, you know, even if this character is a lot like him.
Even though he's
playing himself, yeah.
Describe rules of engagement for those of us that haven't followed what the storyline is. What is it about?
Well, yeah, you got the couple that's been married for a while, me, my wife. You got Oliver Hudson and Bianca Kalick, and they play the engaged couple in spades, the single guy. The construct of the show, the format, we're not reinventing the wheel here, but it's, I think, what makes it special is the writing, and we got a great cast, and you know, it's a lot of fun that way.
You've spent a little bit of time with David Spade. Now I'm sure you got a few of these episodes in the can. Please explain to us, since now you know him, how he gets so many chicks, because we guys look at David Spade and go, the guy's a dork, yet he's you see him all the time in the tabloids with the hottest women in Hollywood. What's his secret, Patrick?
Oh, and that's not even the, you know, the half of it. To be around, it's just it sickens me.
How does it happen? What is it about him that
he's funny, he's charming and disarming. I mean, he's, you know, and at this point too, I mean, he's in his early 50s, right?
Yes, absolutely.
He's learned how to work it. He knows how to manipulate them, and they're all suckers for it. He's funny, he's charming, and I think also too because of how do I make this sound? His diminutive
stature. Go ahead and insult him. You don't have to protect his feelings.
He's not going to.
He's tiny.
The girl knows that he's not going to overpower him or hurt them. Do the girls feel secure with a guy who's like, I don't know?
That's what it is. They think that he's like a puppy that they
maybe
carry around.
Yeah.
Does he have a large wiener?
That was always my guess.
There's got to be something there.
Anyway, David Spade on the show, Patrick Warburton, Oliver Hudson on the program. Rules of Engagement is what it's called. So I got to tell you, I was thinking about this yesterday because they promoted the hell out of it. They ran a million promos for your new show during the Super Bowl, which is the largest TV audience of the year. If people do not tune in, Patrick, it's not because they don't know about the show. It's because they don't care for you.
That's right.
So, wow.
That is right. They teed this up, so.
Yep, it is a referendum on you and your popularity if the show goes down.
It's all on our shoulders. Thank you so much.
Rules of Engagement tonight, 9:30 CBS. Thanks, Patrick. We'll talk to you again, man.
Thanks, guys.
As you know, one of the things we love doing here at K-Rock is giving away tickets to the great local shows before they go on sale. And then we always qualify you to send you to see that same band someplace else around the world. We've done it 6 times already in 2007. We are here this morning to debut details on destination number 7.
I think it's destination number 6. Is it 6 or 7? I'm so confused right now.
Aren't we at 7? I think we're at 7.
7, 6, 8,
okay.
5.
Psycho Mike?
Psycho Mike? 9? 10? 6. Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, your chance to see this band, Incubus, in Iceland.
Oh, now, Bean. You must
now
be
I've
so
never been
happy.
I've never been to Iceland, but Bean swears by it. Bean, tell me about Iceland.
Well, it's the best place I've ever been in my whole life, to tell you the truth. Took a vacation there a few years ago, and it's such an unbelievably beautiful country. You can get everything from black sandy beaches to the largest glacier in Europe to the the very famous hot springs that you can get into, to just, it's just gorgeous. I mean, it really is nature's paradise. And for the people who love to party, Reykjavik is the party hotspot of Europe. People from the continent go there all the time. It's just all-night parties. You've never seen more beautiful women in your life. It's just, it's a paradise. It really is unbelievable.
Wow.
And you get Incubus, too, for God's sakes. You get on the standby boarding list by scoring tickets to see Incubus. They're coming to the Greek on June 1st or June 2nd. You can buy tickets for that Saturday at 10 a.m., or you can win them right now on the world-famous K-Rock.
K-Rock World Tour 2007.
Hi there, it's Brandon Boyd from the band Incubus. Come freeze your butt off with us in Iceland. Wish you were here. Did you hear that? Iceland. I've got enough of the world.
Never leave. Never take me off from underwater. All because of a bar argument, we're really going to Iceland.
Get on the standby boarding list all this week and win tickets to see Incubus June 1st and 2nd of the week. Tickets on sale Saturday.
Listen for Kevin and Bean to call your name Friday morning at 7:15.
Incubus and K-Rock in Iceland.
The world famous K-Rock.
Caller 20 to K-Rock now wins.
800-520-1067.
Something happened in Super Bowl 41 yesterday that had never happened before. Kickoff returned for a touchdown.
Devin Hester, the rookie who was so dangerous, who went to college here at Miami. He led the NFC in both kickoff returns and punt returns. And the Colts have had a hard time all season covering kicks. It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
Kevin, were you even in your seat at Dolphin Stadium when that happened?
Yes, it was the most amazing thing ever. And we were sitting on the 20-yard line. He was coming the entire way right toward us. We were jumping up and down like, oh, my God, he's running it all the way back. That's not possible.
The Bears were up 7-0, 14 seconds into the game. It was truly a great way to kick off the Super Bowl. That voice you heard there was, of course, the announcers for CBS. I think that was Jim Nance doing the play-by-play. But around the world on the radio was another voice doing the play-by-play, a guy you know and love as the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers play-by-play, Spiro Dedas, on the phone with us here at K-Rock. Spiro, good morning. Welcome to K-Rock. Hello, Spiro. Well,
excellent.
It sure seems like we should be hearing something right now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Have Dave get on the phone and play that part. Hello. Yeah, I'm the play-by-play guy. Mike, you want to get on the mic and tell us what's going on?
I just put him on hold again and tried to pot him up again. I'm not getting anything.
He is on a cell phone. He is on his way to the airport. He's in Miami, of course. Yeah. He was there for the game yesterday doing the play-by-play.
I cracked us up, though, because Money, who's, of course, a longtime friend of ours, unable to go to the Super Bowl. His Bears were in it. And he couldn't go.
Yeah.
Spiro, there, calling the game, I guess, for the worldwide radio audience, right? For pretty
that's
much everybody
cool.
except for the United States, I guess.
Yeah, that's an awesome gig. All right, let's try again. Spiro Dedas on the phone at K-Rock. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
There he is. Fantastic. Hey, you're on your way to the airport right now. You're still in Miami. Is that the deal?
No. We just landed. I'm in a cab now headed to the hotel, getting ready to work the Lakers again tonight. Back to my old job. Fun's over.
How cool is that as a break, though, mid-season in the basketball season, to get the call, hey, yeah, we'd like you to call the Super Bowl? I mean, that's an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I was ecstatic when they asked me to do it. And, it was great. I mean, it was my first Super Bowl, so I kind of broke through last night. I mean, it was great. You know, the only bad part about the deal was that I had to get in on Saturday morning, so I missed all the great parties all week. So, maybe it was a good thing. Otherwise,
Spiro, it was a good thing. I will never drink again. This is Kevin, and I'm broadcasting from Miami, and I'm still hungover from about 3 days' worth, so it's probably good that you came in and left quickly.
You know what, though? We all have like one of those moments. I think for me it happens once every 3 months where you drink so much and you wake up the next morning and you just swear off alcohol, and it lasts about 3-4 days and you get back to work.
Hey, Spiro, since you've of course have done a lot of football in your past, I mean, you've called a lot of games, obviously, prior to this point, and you've done a ton of basketball. Do you have a preference? Is one more fun to call than the other?
You know what? Basketball, guys, is much more natural for me. I mean, football, to me, is a play-in announcer. If you don't do a lot of it, you know, and I've never been a full-time football announcer, you know, so when you try to hop in, you know, kind of here and there, it's very difficult to do. You know, there's so much happening in that broadcast booth that people don't realize. I mean, you have statisticians, you have spotters, you know, people kind of tripping over themselves to kind of keep tabs of what's happening on the field because there's so many players. I mean, in basketball, you have guys in tank tops and shorts, and there's five guys on each team, and it's pretty easy to prepare for. In football, you know, there's 22 players on the field at any given point. You know, you have coaches, you have big coaching staffs, you know, so much to kind of keep track of. So it's very challenging. You know, there's no question about it. But we did okay last night. It was fun.
Does it make it easier or more difficult as a play-by-play guy to have a game where there were so many turnovers and so much going on versus a boring game? I mean, is it easier or harder?
It's easier. Definitely. We were kind of looking at each other. Sterling Sharp was my partner last night. And, you know, the first 5-6 minutes of that game were just wild, you know, and we were just having fun with it. You know, I mean, you get those games that, 30-30 or some of those blowouts, and it can become really agonizing. Kind of brutal to call as an announcer, so we enjoyed it. You know, it was fun. I just wish Chicago could have had a little bit better of a second half last night.
You know, we're real good friends with your friend Matt Smith, who was on our program for many, many years. Now he's with the Lakers, the pre and the postgame show. We've been doing nothing but giving him a hard time the last couple weeks since his Chicago Bears. He's from Chicago. We're going to the game. He said, guys, I'd love to go. I really want to go. They're my team, but I got to work. I got to work the Lakers games. And then, boom, out of nowhere, there's you going to Miami, and somehow you figured out a way to make it happen. It's like the ultimate burn on him.
You know, I like money, guys. I've gotten to know him pretty good the last year and a half working with him. And, you know, I feel that, you know, I was going to kind of call him last night and break his chops a little bit. But I'm sure he's struggling today. He's a Chicago guy. He wears his colors on his sleeve in L.A., so we have fun with him.
He does. He's a hardcore Bears fan. That's why we're giving him such a hard time about not being able to show up. And yet, had he been there, he would have been wet and disappointed.
You know, I actually met his brother last night, his older brother, who is an attorney in Chicago, from what I'm told. So we got him into the game, actually. We got him a little.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was nice. Yeah.
I wanted to ask both of you guys, because this is Bean speaking. I was just the guy at home watching it on the TV, but it really seemed like it had to be 2/3 of the crowd was pulling for Chicago. Is that the feeling you guys got in the stadium, too?
Yes. There was a lot of orange and black around the stadium. You know, really all around Miami. I mean, you walk around, whether it was South Beach, whether, you know, you're in the business district of Miami downtown. You know, these people from Chicago, they've waited a long time. Obviously, the Colts have as well. But to me, it was probably, you know, about 2/3 of the stadium, Chicago. Yeah,
I was thinking it was a way higher amount. I mean, it seemed like it was, you know, 9-1 Chicago fans. It was just overwhelming when they introduced the teams and everything else. The noise factor when they start talking about Chicago, they just go crazy.
Yeah,
Spiro Dinas is on the phone with us right now. Of course, the play-by-play guy for the Los Angeles Lakers. He was calling the Super Bowl around the world. So you were on in how many countries yesterday, Spiro?
From what I'm told, 232 countries around the world.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's a game where people, my family and people, haven't been able to watch and check it out. But actually, I have some relatives in Greece that I'm told kind of checked it and saw the game. They have, you know, no clue about American football, the rules, or how it's played or anything. So you know,
that's
nice.
Awesome.
I mean, it was a new experience for us.
Let's touch on basketball for 1 minute, because I know you got another game today. You're calling the Lakers versus the Hawks. How do you feel at this point in the season? You like what you're seeing with the Lakers?
You know what, guys? I mean, this team, they drive you crazy. I mean, they have these runs where they play so well, and we all kind of look at each other and say, you know, maybe we can go to a Western Conference final. You know, maybe this is a special team, and then they turn around and they lose at home to Charlotte, you know, and then they lose at home to New Orleans. So they're just so hot and cold to me. They're so inconsistent. You know, I just think they're a couple notches below the elite teams in the West right now. You know, the Phoenixes, the Dallases, those teams to me are a lot more
constructed. What was he going to say?
Complete.
Yeah. Well, we lost them, but Lakers playing today. Money is going to be hosting the pre-show starting at 2:30 on Extra Sports 570, and then the live Laker game starts at 4:00. And thanks to Spiro Dinas for joining us, the play-by-play voice of the Lakers. Ralph is out, quote unquote, sick today. I suspect he'll be feeling better by Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show when someone named Catherine McPhee stops by to see us.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be happening later this week. Also, funny man Bobby Slayton on the show tomorrow. Trish Stratus from Armed and Famous is going to be on the show.
Stop making those noises.
You can't hit
live
me.
Live music from Fallout Boy on Friday morning right on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. A lot of relationship news that we're following for you. Olivier Martinez. Apparently, the chicks love him. They dig him. He's the guy from Unfaithful, Lisa. That's the actor we're talking about here.
So hot.
He has been with Kylie Minogue for the past 4 years or so. Oh. Well, they just split up. Mike, seriously, I'm going to fly down there and hit you in the balls. Seriously. Kylie Minogue in the statement, I love this. Celebrities always remain best friends with the people they break up with. They always come out with these glowing reviews about how he's the best guy I ever met and I love him deeply. Well, then why aren't you still together is the question we always ask.
We'll be friends forever. Yeah.
Kylie Minogue says that he is the most honorable man she's ever met. London Sun tabloid reports that part of the reason that they are splitting is because he has been seeing whoring it up with chicks all over Los Angeles while Kylie is back home in England. So I don't know how that counts as honorable, but good luck to you. Good news for Super Whore assistant producer Alex and all the other chicks who seem to love this actor Ryan Reynolds. He's been engaged to Alanis Morissette for some time, as you know, and they have called it quits after 4 years as well. So he is now available for you, ladies, if you want to give it a shot.
He's a homo.
Well, maybe.
Top 10 movies over the weekend, The Messengers, Scary Little Kids, debuted at $14.5 million. That was the number one movie. Because I Said So I don't know why anyone would go see this.
Well, it's a chick flick, and most of the stuff that's out there is really heavy right now. So it's tempting, but then you read the reviews and you go, no.
But isn't it a chick flick that's about an overbearing mother?
Well, that is the problem. But sometimes you just want something lighthearted, and apparently people fell for that.
You know, last weekend or 2 weekends ago, they had that chick flick with Jennifer Garner come out called Catch and Release, and that one apparently just landed with a dud, too. That one's already gone, I think.
Well, this was number two, so it did well, a $13 million. Number three was Epic Movie. Number four, Night at the Museum. Number five, Smoking Aces, and that's followed by Stomp the Yard.
What the hell are they doing?
The Stomp in the Yard. Where are you from?
Number six, the Stomp the Yard. Number seven, Dreamgirls. Number eight, Pan's Labyrinth. Bean and Lisa saw this weekend and give all their thumbs up.
It's an excellent movie. It is subtitled in Spanish. But I didn't need the subtitles because I've had so much Spanish.
It's actually subtitled in English, which made it easier for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, why would they subtitle it in Spanish?
It wouldn't matter either way. I'm so fluent.
Of course. Number nine, Pursuit of Happiness. And number 10, The Queen. I'm sure you saw the best story ever over the weekend, which involved Chewbacca. There's a... You know, out in front of the Grauman's Chinese Theater where the people dress up as various movie characters and they pose for pictures with tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently there was a tour guide and he was there with a group. And he told this guy who's dressed up as Chewbacca to stop bothering these two Japanese tourists.
Hey.
At which point, Chewbacca lost it. And he started screaming. I'm sorry. He started screaming at the tour guide. He said, "Nobody tells this Wookiee what to do." And then, as if that wasn't enough, he headbutted the tour guide.
Oh, my God.
So they call the police. The police show up. They arrest Chewbacca, and they take him off in a police car.
That's sad.
Very funny photo in the LA Times over the weekend. I think it was Saturday morning's paper. You can see Chewbacca there. He's facing the police car. He's got the handcuffs on. You're looking at his back, and they blurred out his head. I guess they made him take his head off. It's so funny in the article. Listen to this from the LA Times about Chewbacca's arrest. Thursday's altercation comes as police and Hollywood officials are trying to rein in the colorful assortment of actors and wannabes who perform for crowds. They acknowledge that the incident was a setback.
You think a headbutt is a setback?
I guess so. The guy's 44 years old, by the way, the guy in the Chewbacca suit. He has to wake up in the morning as he puts that smelly suit back on for another day of panhandling. He has to be saying, what happened to my life? What's the deal here? Thanks to the K-Rock listeners who tipped us off, and a lot of them have written us this morning to tip us off to Andy Dick being forcibly removed from the Jimmy Kimmel Live show on Friday night. Jimmy had Andy Dick on as a guest, and then he moved down the couch, and he had Ivanka Trump on. And she's, of course, on the new episode of The Apprentice, her dad's show. And Andy, for some reason, and I guess, you know, just look at her, how could you not, could not stop touching her. Here's a little bit of how that sounded before Andy Dick was asked to leave.
I have no idea what he's doing behind me.
He's perfectly still.
I'm, like, trying to be very...
You don't play up the glitter on your legs?
Oh, you know.
By the way, as you're watching the video, Andy Dick has a drink in his hand and about a dozen in his belly from the way he seems to be slurring here.
Andy, don't touch Ivanka.
Oh, wait, did I say I was single? I meant I had a boyfriend.
Andy, please, Donald Trump will kill both of us.
Poor Andy, he can't keep his hands off of her legs and stuff, and then she starts talking, and he goes back and touches her again, and then Uncle Frank, the security guard on the Kimmel show, comes out, and he and Jimmy drag Andy Dick by his feet off the stage to tumultuous applause.
That's fantastic TV right there, to watch Jimmy Kimmel drag somebody by his feet off the stage. That's awesome.
Here's some great news for director Martin Scorsese as he heads toward an appointment with Oscar. You know, he's never won an Academy Award, and everybody says that's an outrage. He's one of the greatest directors we've ever had, and he won the DGA Award, Directors Guild Award, for his directing of The Departed. That award ceremony was held over the weekend. He beat out the fellow directors for Best Film nominees, Babel, Dreamgirls, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen. And, of course, directors vote for directors at the Oscars, too, so it looks like he's pretty much set up to finally get that monkey off his back.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
you would think this is going to be the year when they say, okay, he's done so much with his career, and he's never won. We've got to give him this one. I mean, don't you think there's no way he'll lose it?
Well, isn't Clint Eastwood also nominated?
He is. And look at some of the other movies he's been nominated for. I would have thought, I mean, you look at, you know, in retrospect, you look back at, you know, Raging Bull, for instance, and you think, how can the guy not win for that? You know, he's done so many movies that you think he should have won for. But it looks like this is going to be the one. And finally, the biggest news in the history of the world, if your name is Kevin, Ghostbusters 3.
has been talked about, apparently.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, tell us about you and Ghostbusters.
Well, Ghostbusters, the original, is my favorite all-time movie. That's number one on the list.
I thought it was Ace Ventura.
No, God, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watched it. I like it. But that's no Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters 2 was awful. It's not in my top 100. And then now Ghostbusters 3, they're talking about making it. Are they talking about doing a cartoon style, B?
Yes, that's what it is. They're talking about doing a computer-generated with
like a Shrek type of animation.
Exactly. Bringing back some of the voices and doing Ghostbusters 3. I don't know, you know, God bless them and all that. I just don't know what the audience is that's out there waiting for Ghostbusters 3.
I don't think there's anyone out there waiting for it. You're going to have to drum up support again from the scratch.
Celebrity birthdays today. Terrific actor and director Christopher Guest turns 58 years old today. Actress Jennifer Jason Leigh is 45. And Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
How much do you miss that show? His crazy, crazy reality show with his crack wife, Whitney Houston. I don't know what Bobby's doing today, but he is doing it at 38 years old. And that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Now, this is a big week because we not only have those all week, we're giving away tickets to see the Grammys. They're going to be where? Kevin, Staples Center Sunday, right?
Staples Center Sunday night, yeah. And these are tickets you obviously can't buy tickets to the Grammys, but we're going to give them away each morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the first game that we're going to play with you, the fine K-Rock audience at 1-800-520-1067 is Famous Grams.
We are Grammy tickets and we want to give them to you. If you want our Grammy tickets, you must win the Famous Grams.
Famous! Famous! Famous!
More good work from producer Lightning. The answers to all of the questions contain Graham. Graham is in the answer. They're all famous. And if you get it right, you go into a drawing. We find out at the end who wins the Grammy tickets that you cannot buy. Let's take them in order, Mike, and we'll start with our pal Jonathan. Jonathan is in L.A. John, all excited about Grammy tickets, I hope?
Very excited, guys. You got to hook me up.
All right, man. All right. We'll see if we can. Kevin's going to ask the question. Then all you have to do is come up with the answer with a famous Graham in the title. Go ahead.
Question number one, you just can't make delicious s'mores without chocolate marshmallows and these wholesome wafers.
Teddy Graham.
Oh, my.
Golden Graham.
Sorry, can't hook you up. Bye now.
You don't use Teddy Grahams.
No, they're not Teddy Grahams. They're Graham crackers.
Graham crackers.
Then he tried to recover. He goes, Golden Grahams.
And Kevin, I don't think they're chocolate marshmallows either. They're chocolate comma marshmallows, aren't they? When you're making the s'mores,
yeah, chocolate marshmallows and wholesome wafers.
Okay.
All right. What? Where are you from?
You said chocolate marshmallows. No. I just want to make sure here. Let's go to Noah in some place called Wildemar.
I knew I was going to get reamed on that one.
Well, what the hell is it?
Wildemar is a little metropolis north of Temecula in the land of the Derby.
Should have known.
No. I'm sorry. I reject you. That's not correct.
I like it, though, because he officially called it the land of the dirt people, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not denying it.
All right. The answer has Graham in it, okay?
Okay.
This actress stars on the long-running series from both the WB and the CW as the hot mom of Rory, played by Alexis Bledel.
Oh, God.
Graham in the answer.
Oh, I know that one. I watch the CW all the time.
Not me. I don't know. I can't even make a guess on that one.
Oh, dude.
Killing me.
Lauren Graham
of the Gilmore Girls is who we're looking for. There are people screaming at their radios right now, Noah. Sorry, you do not win. So far, we're 0-2. Let's try Shelly. She's in L.A. Hi, Shelly. You ready to go for Grammy tickets?
Sure am.
Right. If you get it right, you get into a drawing. Unless you're the only person that gets it right, then you'll win the tickets for Sunday night. Here's your question. This inventor of the telephone made the first phone call to his assistant, Mr. Watson, when he spilled acid on his crotch.
Graham Bell.
Close enough.
Close enough, right?
Yeah.
Alexander Graham Bell. That's
congratulations.
Right.
All right, Shelly, you are in the drawing. Let's find out if you win those tickets for the Grammys. We move on and we go to David in Alhambra. David, welcome to Famous Grams for Grammy Tickets. Here's your question.
David, if Alexander Graham Bell had wiped the acid off of his nuts with his handkerchief, what would the initials AGB sewn on that cloth be called?
Anagram.
So close, yet not at all right. I'm sorry.
Really, no. Monogram is what that would be called.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anagram, completely different. So far, it's just Shelley. Let's see how Victoria does from Covina. Hi, Victoria. Listen up for your question for Famous Grams for Grammy tickets.
All right.
All right, here's your question. This actress has been lost in space, roller skated through boogie nights, and was the spy who shagged
Heather
me.
Graham.
Yes!
Yes.
How nicely done.
Well done. Well done. All right. That's
you going
two.
To the drawing? Thank you.
Oscar, South Pasadena, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Listen up. Here's your favorite famous Graham question.
This is tough, man.
How many of you known out of the first five?
Two.
Two, okay. Here's your question. This 2003 movie thriller starring Sean Penn and Naomi Watts was titled after what some believe is the weight of the human soul.
Oh, 23 grams.
Wow, so close. 21 grams.
Unless he's got more soul than the rest of us. Maybe he's a black
guy.
Maybe he has. If he's a black guy, then it might be 23 grams. You know what I'm saying?
That was really close, but... Sorry, dude.
Oscar, I'm sorry. 21 grams is what we were looking for. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Nice try, though. Sorry, let's go to Jeff in Pomona. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's your question for famous grams.
For 150 years, this was a popular method of communication, but on January 27th, 2006, Western Union sent their last one.
Telegram.
Yeah, there you go.
Correct, yes.
All right. Congratulations. All right, hang on. We got time for one more. So far, by the way, Jeff, Victoria, and Shelley are all in the running. Let's see how Joey does. Joey calling from the fine city of Montebello. Yeah. Hey, Joey, listen up.
What's up?
This famous Christian evangelist was a hit on radio, TV, and was a spiritual advisor to seven different presidents.
I'm going to say Larry Graham.
Larry Graham is incorrect.
from the Grand Central Station Band?
No, I'm sorry. I think the Reverend Kevin was, Larry Graham.
I think Kevin was fishing for Billy Graham. I think he was looking for there, Joey. Nice try, though. All right, Lisa, you want to do the drawing for us?
We got
Shelley, we got Victoria, and we have Jeff. They are all in the running. Let's find out who the winner is.
Hey, yo, check this out. And the winner is...
Victoria from Covina.
Victoria. Put her back on the line, Mike. Congratulations, Victoria.
Yeah.
You're going to be at the Grammys on Sunday night. Way to go.
Cool. Thank you.
And thanks for playing our famous Gram game.
Thank you. We are Grammy tickets and we want to give them to you. If you want our Grammy tickets, you must name the famous Gram.
Famous. Famous. Famous.
Let's talk to K-Rock listener Eddie, who's on the line. We talked to him at the end of the show Friday, and he had quite the wager going on Super Bowl 41 that happened yesterday. Eddie, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa.
Hello, Eddie.
So, refresh our memory. You called us and said what?
Me and the old missus had a bet. If the Colts won, give it to her in the butt. And if the Bears won, she'd give it to me in the butt.
That's right. And Kevin was rooting for the Bears for that reason.
You made me for that!
That seems like that's a bad bet to make, regardless. I mean, it seems like...
You could lose.
It worked out well for you. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's a good part. It actually did work out good for me. It would have really sucked if the Bears lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, exactly. Now, were you using the spread or were you just going straight up winner?
Hey!
No wonder your behind is bleeding!
I want to tell you. That's a good question. I guess they covered the spread anyway.
They did, but it wasn't until, I mean, it was still the fourth quarter. They were still, you know, kind of close to clawing back in it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I covered the spread.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Somebody got to slap some grease on your behind and stick in you. There's something wrong with that.
Were you nervous when it looked like for just a minute that maybe the Bears might come back and get close?
Well, I was just nervous right off the bat. You know, you got Devin Hester running the punt, the kickoff for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Seconds to go, I'm like, oh crap.
The first play of the game, you're already tensing your ass cheeks. You're already going, oh, no, no, oh, God, no.
All right, last question, Eddie. When is the payoff, or was it last night right after the game with you and Eva?
The payoff was last night.
Yay. Oh, how about that?
Woo!
Congratulations. Yay! All right, well done, man. I NBA All-Star Game's coming up. There's hockey All-Star Game coming up. There's a lot of stuff you can be betting on. You may need to go back for more.
I think I'm taking the Pro Bowl, too.
There you go. Nice.
Good. That's the game everyone cares about.
He's gonna keep going until he gets it in the butt. That's what's gonna happen with him. That's my maybe sense on Eddie.
Maybe that's what he wants. All right, dude. Thank you for the call. Let's talk about Prince. Kevin, you were in the stands at Dolphin Stadium yesterday. You saw it. Some people in the press are saying it's one of the greatest halftime show performances of all time. What'd you think?
I thought it was really great too. I kind of like Prince. I've gone to see him in concert. I think he's really talented. And it always looks different when you're sitting there because there's fireworks and lights and everything, you know, as far to the right as you can see, as far to the left as you can see, and the sound is so much better. But I've liked it, you know, in past years, and then I come in and you guys go, oh, it was awful. It didn't translate to TV well at all. So I didn't know what to think about it, but I really liked it. I thought it was really well done, especially the part where they had that white sheet that was flying in the wind and looked like he was masturbating from behind. Remember that with the spotlight? Did you see that part?
Yeah. Yeah. They held up a big sheet that he kind of got behind, so it was like you're watching hand puppets or something like that.
Right.
He was being a little bit salacious, which surprised me at a halftime show that you could get away with that and have it air anymore the way things are going.
He was working the guitar, so to speak.
Yeah, he was. He did. He was on for about 18 minutes or so. He came out with "Let's Go Crazy" and then did some of "Baby I'm a Star," and then he started going off into this bizarre medley that I didn't. How do you put these songs together? He did "Proud Mary," which is a 40-year-old John Fogerty song. Then he did a little bit of "All Along the Watchtower," which is a 40-year-old Bob Dylan song. And then Foo Fighters' "Best of You." Like, how do you, in your mind, put those three songs together to put together in a medley? I can't figure that out.
I don't know.
Well, here's a little bit of what it sounded like if you want to hear what Prince sounds like doing Dave Grohl. You know about Prince. One, the boy can play guitar, and two, he can scream like a girl, can he?
Yes, he can.
Wow.
Yes,
that
he
was
can.
That was a cool moment, though. It was awesome. And we're going to try to get
I was
to
so
that,
shocked. It took me like a couple of minutes. I was watching him. I was going, that can't be. He's not doing the, no, that's not the Foos. No way. Really? What? It just took me like 30 seconds to get my head around it.
What'd you think about him coming out with a do-rag, by the way? How funny was that?
That was pretty funny. And then he took it off, and I'm telling you, by halftime, every single person there, including Prince and all of his dancers and all those, you know, they hire those kids in the middle of the field to come out and act like they're all excited. Everybody just soaked. And I was surprised that, A, not only did he not lip sync it, he was singing all of it live, and I was surprised that all of the electric worked with all that rain. It looked like just going to be disastrous.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool performance from Prince, though. It's 8:27 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin has had a big, big weekend in Miami, and I guess there's some parties you're going to tell us about when we come back.
Oh, yeah. And right, some celebrity sightings, yep.
Cool.
Fantastic. The world-famous K-Rock.
So we're in Miami, me and my friend Kurt. Yep, that's the song for the Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, Miami is one of those unique cities where it is like no other. It's so, you know, Vegas is that way. There's no other city that's just like Vegas. There's no other city that's just like Miami. And the beautiful thing about Miami is that it's all condensed right into one tiny little area of South Beach where everybody goes for the Super Bowl. So all of the parties are going on in South Beach. There's a boulevard called Ocean Boulevard that's closed off so that people can walk up and down. Everybody's drinking and having a good time. And we partied all Friday night, and then Saturday night we went to a bunch of parties. We saw celebrities everywhere. Alex Rodriguez Bean was right in front of our hotel.
Oh, no, really?
I don't know much about him. I'm no Mo, but the guy's pretty good looking.
Yeah, right? The ladies love him.
Yeah,
they sure do.
Spike Lee we saw. Jamie Foxx was hanging out at one of the swimming pools. Terrell Owens was here. Snoop, of course. If there's a party, Snoop's he has to be there. You know that.
Well, it's not a party unless Snoop is there.
Right. So, but then Saturday night we went to a CAA party, and Rob Blake was there from the Los Angeles Kings because the Kings were playing in town. Kid Rock was there, and he was wearing a number 12 Joe Namath jersey.
All right.
And overalls. That's a look. Joe Namath, number 12 jersey, and overalls.
He must still be famous enough that he can get chicks without having to try them.
Yes. Billy Bob Thornton was in that party. Alec Baldwin was there. The ugly Baldwin. What's the ugly one?
I don't know. There's Steven. A couple of them, right?
Steven, I think.
Steven, I think, yeah. Whichever the ugly one was there, he was there. And then something happened that that really shocked me. And I got to tell you that I think I've created a new phrase that I would like added to the English language, if that's okay. We were at that party, and I saw Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Now, when you see Bill O'Reilly at a party, it's time to leave.
Absolutely. I mean, you know,
right? You're at the wrong party.
Does that mean that fun cannot be had if Bill O'Reilly is there? Because he's the kind of guy
who... He's not a party.
He's not a party, right. He's anti-party. Yeah. He's like matter and antimatter. He actually takes away fun from the party. So I'd like to add to the English language that a party can be Bill O'Reilly'd. If you ever see Bill O'Reilly at a party, walk right to the exit and leave.
So it doesn't matter how off the hook it is. Nope. It doesn't matter if you got girls in cages dancing topless to live funk music. It seems like the greatest thing in the world. The minute Bill O'Reilly walks in, boom, it just quits.
I saw him walk through the door, and he was walking right past me, and they were playing some Michael Jackson song. I can't remember which. And I said something about here to shake that ass because I was so shocked that Bill O'Reilly was there. And he said, always.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, I'm on my way out. So
Bill,
we went to another.
Bill, any thoughts about the party Kevin's describing?
This brutal ordeal is now officially over, and I will never speak of it again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I will, though. Bill O'Reilly, that is now added to the English language if I could have my way. And so we left that party and we went to a Vice magazine party where Pharrell was playing.
Now, that one was supposed to be the big party of the weekend, right?
Oh, it was. I mean, yeah, we got there at about, I don't know, 1 a.m. or something like that, and we had been drinking all night. And it turns out you continue to drink at a place like that. And Rob Blake from the Kings was there. A whole bunch of people, we were all hanging out. And, Kurt and I, who are here to see the Super Bowl, I lost him probably 15 times. I'd just be wandering around, just, like, way too drunk for my own good. Just knowing that if I could just somehow transport myself to my bed, I'd be fine. But I knew I wasn't going to make it for quite some time. So it got to be about 4:30 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Bean, you don't drink, so you don't know this weird, bizarre thing that comes over you after drinking an entire night. You have to eat crappy food right now or you will die.
Yes.
It just comes to that point where you just go, oh, I need a burger, and I have to have it right this instant. So we were heading back to our hotel. We said, Burger King, right across the street from our hotel. This is going to be awesome. We were talking about the Burger King, menu items. It's crazy how excited you can get about anything when you're that drunk. We get there, and Burger King is closed. It's like 5:06 or something like that. So we look around and we're completely drunk and we're just thinking, oh, I have to have food now. I worked myself up into a lather over Burger King. So there's a Walgreens. So it's the only place that's open. So we go, what would Walgreens have? So we go into Walgreens to look for food. That's not a good thing, first of all. Walgreens is not the place you want for your drunk food. So we go looking around and we find, chips or whatever, and we end up with Lunchables.
No.
So instead of Burger King now, we have Lunchables.
See, the problem is what you need is grease, and you're not going to get grease from any place that's selling prepackaged food.
No, you get the turkey and cheddar stacker. That's what you get. And so I bought two packages of those. I just thought, you know what? I'm so hungry right now, I could eat the packaging too as well. So I grab two packages of them, and I go and I pay, and I walk outside, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I start watching these four alleged hookers that were in Bears, like, cheerleading outfits on the corner. They walked from one corner to the next with the alleged pimp who was with them. And cars would pull up, and they would make what I'm guessing would be an offer, and then they would drive off. There were four of them, right? And I was just watching, and I was eating my Lunchable, and then I ate his Lunchable as well. And I started to think, what happened to him? How do you get lost inside Walgreens at, 5 o'clock in the morning? So I start thinking I need to go back in, and I see Kurt, my friend, come out of Walgreens with a homeless lady. And she's pushing a cart, and he has bought her anything that she wanted. He said, I'll get you whatever you want. What do you want? So she got, like, butter and a can opener and all kinds of different things. And she came out. And so Kurt, now having not seen the walk of the hookers. And by the way, go to krock.com, the sites page. The first picture there is the alleged hookers with their alleged pimp.
I'm looking at it right now. Those are the shortest skirts you can probably legally wear on the street.
And super smoking hot, right? So I've been sitting here watching this the whole time while Kurt, my friend, has been inside, like, shopping for a homeless lady. He's doing something helpful, and I'm, lusting. So I'm sitting there watching, and out comes Kurt with the homeless lady, and he is all excited about having done something, for her. He feels good about it. And he sees these girls, and he thinks, in his mind, those girls look like they have some money. And he walks right up to the hookers and says these words. Who wants to be a good Samaritan? Now, he meant that in a way that he was going to try and help the homeless woman more. He doesn't realize he's asking hookers who wants to be a good Samaritan,
right,
which means
like
something completely different.
Right, he's looking for a free handy.
Yes, exactly. So the pimp dude starts yelling at him, and they start getting in a fight. And I go up, and he's like, what's going on, man? I said, those are hookers who you're talking to. And he said, no, those are not. I just asked them if they wanted to be a good Samaritan. I said, you asked the hookers if they want to be a good Samaritan? And you wonder why they're yelling at you? And he's like, dude, I just thought that they could help that homeless woman over there. And I thought, how different were our mindsets at that exact moment when he was trying to help a homeless lady and just about to get beat up by a pimp in the middle of South Beach at 5 a.m. after eating Lunchables because we were drunk.
That's the very definition of good times. Hey,
that's
speaking of parties,
right there.
Did you run into our pal Bald Brad while you're in Miami?
Yes. Yes, we did.
He's on the phone right now. We got Bald Brad.
No.
As you know,
no.
This guy is a party. Hey, Brad.
No, he's the guy who was throwing the party with Pharrell.
Oh.
Yeah, did we? All right, but you know what? We're partying. We're having a good time. Kevin was on tilt. I didn't see him for a second without at least two drinks in his hand.
Yeah, it was rough.
I mean, when Kevin is calling you going, I mean, he's using words. I mean, he can't even form a sentence. I'm like, wow, you're doing great this week.
Hey, Brad, he mentioned a bunch of the celebrities. Was Bill O'Reilly at the party that you were throwing? And if so, how did that happen?
Mine was actually a cool party. No, I wouldn't even let that guy in the building. He'd have been strung up, I'm telling you.
That's I gotta tell you,
I did a party with Pharrell, but the night before, Ludacris was gonna be my special guest. So we all go out to dinner, he invites me out to dinner, so it's me and his whole crew. So we got a big crew of guys going, and we're chilling at this really upscale steakhouse called Prime. It's like, I guess, the best steakhouse in Miami. People are coming up to him saying, hey, I like your music. About halfway through the dinner, like, the place kind of gets weird for a second. People's heads are turning real fast, and because there's a lot of celebrities in there. All of a sudden, the guy puts his hand on Luda's arm and goes, I like your music, young man. It's O.J. Simpson.
Oh,
nice.
And I, you know, where most people would be shocked, I was the happiest man that ever lived. I knew my dad was going to be like, dude, he goes, I really like your music. I'm telling you, Ludacris' eyes got so big, like, oh my God, this is surreal.
So O.J. made his way across the restaurant to meet Ludacris.
The entire restaurant walked across, and people were staring at him, and you get those looks, and I've never seen a look with any celebrity. It was 50% like, there's O.J. Simpson, and 50% like, hide the knives, there's O.J.
Yeah, hide the knives. That's the first thing I thought as he walks up to Luda, and Luda's like keeping track of where all the steak knives are on the table to make sure nothing goes wrong, you know?
Hey, Brad, let me ask you a question about him, because he always says in the press, he always says everyone is nice to him.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes, people couldn't be, you know, more kind, and you know, they pat him on the back, and they have a huge smile. What was it like in the restaurant?
You know what? This is the comical part. Everyone was nice to him, probably for two different reasons. Number one, he's a football hero, and they're, you know, the big NFL, the big Super Bowl game. And number two, if you're not nice to him, he'll cut your head off.
He'll kill you, yeah. That's
exactly.
True.
Exactly.
So I guess you have to be nice to him. So anyway, that was the weekend here in Miami. O.J. making an appearance and our party being Bill O'Reilly'd.
Apparently so.
Pretty much the highlights.
Thanks, Bald Brad, for calling in. Thanks for the story. We'll take a quick break. It's 8:46 on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I want to give a heads up to KROQ listener Craig, who sent this in. I had not heard about this, but this is if you're like Lisa and me, and you're frantically trying to catch up on all of the Oscar-nominated performances in movies before the ceremony coming up at the end of February, this is a great deal. Listen to this. AMC Theaters on February the 24th is having a one-day deal where you can see all five of the Best Picture nominees for one price of only $30. Plus, you get a free large popcorn and free large drink, unlimited refills all day long.
Wow.
So wait. You're going to watch five movies in a row?
Five in a row, yes. It's only $30, all you can eat, all you can drink, Babel at 11, The Queen at 1:45, The Departed at 3:45, Letters from Iwo Jima at 7, and Little Miss Sunshine at 9:45. That's your one-day deal right there to get caught up on the Oscars.
Wow.
I don't know if
How
I
awesome
could do
is that,
that,
though?
I think it's awesome, but I don't think I could do that either. I don't think I could sit that long. I have ADD. There's no way I could.
Those are some heavy movies, too. You'd be so wrung out at the end of that.
Woo, the queen, woo! Speaking of movies, the number one movie this weekend was The Messengers. That's the debut with the little scary kids, $14.5 million. Because I Said So debuted at number two with $13 million. Epic Movie was number three. Number four was Night at the Museum. Number five, Smokin' Aces. Number six, Stomp the Yard.
What the hell are they doing?
They're stomping the yard. Where are you from?
Where are you from? Number seven, Dreamgirls. Number eight, Pan's Labyrinth. Bean and Lisa both saw that this weekend and say it's unlike anything you've ever seen.
And you
it's
should terrific. See it. It's really
it
good.
Is terrific, yeah.
Number nine is Pursuit of Happiness, and number ten, the Queen, woo!
that Night at the Museum, by the way, was the fifth biggest movie of 2006. Did you guys know? I mean, it was a monster, $220 million or something like that. That thing's made already with Ben
Stiller. Wow,
unbelievable!
Wow, no, I didn't realize it was that big.
Critic proof, I guess.
Apparently, if you're young in Hollywood and you want to do what's hip, you want to be in with the in crowd, you need to get into a car crash. Car crashes are the new black, is what it says.
Yes.
Of course, there's already Brandy's car crash, Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Lane Garrison from Prison Break had one not too long ago. Amanda Bynes, the teen actress involved in a multiple car collision Wednesday night in Beverly Hills. Is she a gooder, Mike? You like her, Amanda?
Yeah, totally. She works out of Venice sometimes. I see her down there. The chick's hot.
She works out of Venice sometimes. I'm pumping some weight.
She's pretty buff.
I say, hey, chick, you're pretty hot. How about coming over here helping me lift?
Yeah.
How about spotting me?
I peel down into my tank top every once in a while. I walk by her. check this bicep out.
Apparently, she knows how to do it because she looked cute and she didn't kill anyone and she was there, you know, signing autographs and, you know, just basically being very cool about it. And she gets all this, you know, she's in an auto accident yet is getting nothing but positive publicity out of it. It's almost like Kevin suggested earlier that she, you know, her agent called us and said, hey, great news. I got your car crash.
I got your car crash on Saturday night. Just meet us here at this intersection and we'll just have a little bumper, a little fender bender, and it'll be cool.
Yeah, you'll be in all the papers and everybody will love it. So, congratulations to Amanda Bynes for jumping on the bandwagon. Good work for you.
Andy Dick was thrown off the Jimmy Kimmel Show on Friday night, and you can see this at YouTube. This is very funny because he was on there with Ivanka Trump, and he kept touching her. He kept touching her knee and touching her hair, and Jimmy said, you got to stop it, seriously, and ended up dragging him off the stage by his feet. It was a very funny moment. You can see it on YouTube. YouTube has been bought by who, Bean? Is it Yahoo?
I believe...
Google? Yahoo?
Google, I want to say.
I think Google
bought him for like $1.5 billion.
Yeah, and as soon as that happened, they're going to start running into all kinds of legal trouble. Viacom, over the weekend, apparently made them pull down several billion videos. Oh. I don't know how many it was. But
over 100,000.
Over 100,000 videos they had to take off YouTube. So YouTube, as we knew it, is pretty much gone. But you can still see some good stuff on there, like the Jimmy Kimmel thing with Andy Dick. Just do a search for those two names.
For now, you can see it for now.
Right.
But there's still plenty of videos of, you know, funniest home video type stuff, you know, guys.
Yeah, sure.
Walking into a wall and stuff like that. One more celebrity arrest over the weekend. Do you know the name Ryan O'Neal? He was a very popular actor back in the 70s. Of course, he was famously linked with Farrah Fawcett for many, many years. He still works today. He's been on Bones this season. He plays Lynette's dad on Desperate Housewives. Well, he was arrested Saturday morning. As far as I can tell, may still be in jail. TMZ.com, our entertainment website of choice, reports that he was arrested at his Malibu home after he fired at least one gunshot in the vicinity of his son, Griffin, who's 42 years old. Got into some sort of a fight with his son and his son's 22-year-old girlfriend, who was also slightly injured. And Lisa, you heard it involved, what, like a fireplace poker?
A fireplace poker that the son, Griffin, was swinging it around and actually grazed Ryan O'Neal a couple of times. And he said he got scared and he ran and got his gun and just fired into a, I don't know, something to scare him away. But the girlfriend was slightly injured and she ended up in the hospital. Not by the gun, though, I don't think.
How is this happening in Malibu? How are they not living in Riverside?
I don't know.
It's so white trash.
Isn't it?
By the way, Fireplace Poker is opening up for Coachella. Great band.
You'll have to see
them if you get a chance. Another person that was arrested over the weekend, Chewbacca. I don't know if you saw this. Right outside Grauman's Chinese Theater, people dress, as you know, as various movie characters. They pose for pictures for tourists and stuff like that. And one tour guide was asking Chewbacca to stop bothering these two Japanese tourists. And Chewbacca, apparently the guy inside the costume, got totally pissed and started yelling at the tour guide. And it sounded like this. Come on.
Or not.
I totally had, like, all this water in my mouth when you asked me to do it, dude. I'm sorry.
Do it again.
It sounded like this.
Nope.
I told you I don't
think
Chewbacca.
Sounded nothing like that.
He used these words, and this is the funniest sentence that's ever been said. Nobody tells this Wookiee what to do.
Yay!
And he's And he said those words right before he headbutted the tour guide. And they called the police, and Chewbacca was arrested over the weekend.
Why is that not on YouTube?
That's good times that would be right so there. Good.
That's a good point. If you've got Saturday's LA Times laying around, or if you want to go to LATimes.com, you can see the picture of poor Chewbacca in handcuffs. He's fallen a long way since the Millennium Falcon was retired, hasn't
Truly.
He?
Truly.
That's fantastic. Today's celebrity birthdays, and yes, Ralph will be back with the Showbiz Beat tomorrow. We hope he's feeling better. Jennifer Jason Leigh, terrific actress, is 45 years old today, as is Barbara Hershey. She's 59. Actor Christopher Guest turns 58 years old today. And Bobby Brown. Oh, what's Bobby going to do next?
Stay in his car another night?
Probably so. Oh, Bobby Without blacks. Whitney is 38 years old today, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
We are the band, shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good, blowing your mind like a newbie's would. You know we're just strutting for fun, strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble, we're just here to do the Super Bowl.
Not so much. Not so much as 85. This year was a little different yesterday. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on the world famous K-Rock.
We were talking to Sarah Spain, who lives in Los Angeles, last week on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's the one who got instant fame for putting herself up on eBay, trying to get a ticket to the Super Bowl, and it worked out far beyond her wildest dreams, except for the way the game ended. And we thought, hey, let's get an update from her now that she's actually been to Miami and had a chance to see her beloved Bears in the big game yesterday. Sarah Spain, back on K-Rock. Good morning, my dear.
How are you?
Better than you?
How are you feeling?
I lost my voice a little bit.
I saw Sarah. She was one of the first people that I saw when I got to the game yesterday here in Miami. And she was already like, I don't know if I can talk to you tomorrow. It's going to be noon. I was like, it's going to be noon. You can get up and talk to us at noon. She said, I don't know. I'm going to have to let you know tomorrow. I just don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in.
Yeah. Not in the best shape.
Sounds like it. Sarah, for folks who didn't hear, they may have heard the first part of the story that you were trying to find somebody to get a Super Bowl ticket for you. It ended up being so much bigger than that. You had a sponsor, this Axe body spray or something, actually flew you. They sent you and two of your friends to the game, right?
Yeah, and they hooked us up with a hotel room and car service and all that jazz. It really felt like a VIP style.
Yeah, no kidding. And then you had your own contest where you solicited through thousands of entries from people who wanted to go to the game with you. And I saw the video on YouTube of the guy that you picked who was a med student or something like that. Seemed like a cool guy. How did that all work out?
Oh, he was so great. He turned out to be such a nice guy. We really, I mean, up until about 5 minutes or 10 minutes into the game, I would say it was like the best weekend of our lives. Just amazing.
Oh, especially after that. Especially after that first play, after the run back.
Oh, man.
92-yard kickoff run back. You must have just been going crazy.
We were going absolutely absurd. And, like, parents of a friend of mine from junior high happened to be in the seat directly behind me. And we were like, it's a sign. It's a sign.
It's a sign.
Just going crazy.
Yeah. It is funny, though, because you never know as the game starts what kind of a game is going to be. Is it going to be a blowout? Is it going to be a nail-biter? Is it going to get down to overtime with a field goal? Is going to be? You have no idea. But I'm sure running through everybody's mind after that return was, oh, my God, the Bears are going to blow them out. I mean, we were all thinking, yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's going to be 100-0. It's never going to stop.
It was just, like, too good to be true, you know?
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
You know what, remarkable? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to say, you know, it was raining like crazy. Have you ever been wetter in your entire life, first of all?
No, absolutely. And soaked completely through, and I was wearing my cheerleading outfit.
Yes.
So I had to wait till halftime to go get a jacket because I didn't want to leave and miss anything.
Yeah, and that's what brings me to point number two, that everybody seems to be forgetting about the rain, is that the cheerleaders were also wet.
Oh.
And by the way, there were two sets of Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders. There were no Bears cheerleaders.
Yeah, we haven't had cheerleaders in like 20-something years. The Honey Bears.
Can they not find hot chicks in Chicago? What's the?
I think all the hot chicks in Chicago want to be watching the game. We're playing football, not cheering it.
I got you. That could be.
Now, you were everywhere in all the interviews that you were doing throughout the weeks leading up to the game. You were calling the Bears were going to win it by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
What happened? Why so little time on the field for Chicago's offense yesterday, Sarah?
Well, you know, I do have to watch the game tapes again just to see some. I don't like some of it. I just think we had no running game at all, which I was really surprised by because the Indies defense has been better recently, but didn't think they were going to be that effective at stopping us, especially after Thomas Jones had such a sick game against the Saints. But I really
the problem is
Sexy
the problem is
Rexy
Sarah
was not very sexy.
Yeah, that's the problem. Rex Grossman is a bad quarterback, he was throwing like the height of punts. It would just take off out of his hand and go up above the stadium, and anybody's ball.
Yeah, he's missing the wrong direction.
Yeah, there were definitely times where you felt like if you had a more seasoned guy in there, like, I don't know, Peyton Manning, somebody who has developed a little patience after a few years in the league, you realize that sometimes you can't just throw the ball because you're out of things to do. You've got to come up with some other way to avoid a turnover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we were really set up going up 14-0 and then having our defense, which in the end didn't do that great, but gave us enough turnovers to put us in good position. And they got so scared of Devin Hester after that first run that we had good field position all the time. The problem is that when we got into a good position or we started to move the ball, Rex would just force it instead of letting it be three and out and moving on.
There was one stat that you probably didn't hear because you guys were in the stand, but when they said it on television, it shocked me. From the time that the Chicago offense gave up the ball right before halftime to the time they got it again after Indianapolis ate up a lot of time on the clock after the halftime show, which was an extended halftime show, it was 56 minutes between appearances on the field for Rex Grossman.
Wow.
I mean you're iced at that point.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Especially in indeed. The rain.
Hey, it's not just that, Bean. It's also, I mean, it was raining hard, and those players, when you're just standing around for, what, 4 or 5 minutes of commercials, you're soaked by, you know, the first couple of minutes of the game, and the commercial breaks in the Super Bowl are way longer than normal, so they're just standing out there in the rain the entire time. Yeah. It was brutal.
I have one more clip I want to play from the post game immediately right before they presented the trophy, the Lombardi Trophy. And this is Coach Dungy, and I want to ask Sarah about something he says here.
The Colts brought everybody in their building to the Super Bowl and their wives. Every employee was brought down from the cafeteria staff, janitorial staff, grounds crew. They're all here to see the Colts of Indianapolis win Super Bowl 41.
Actually, we're going to hear Coach Dungy now, but how cool is that they flew out every single employee for the Colts to actually be at the stadium? And you're a janitor for the Colts, and you get to go to the Super Bowl. Have you ever heard of a team doing something like that? That's the coolest.
I've never heard of it. That's pretty awesome. Too bad they didn't represent their team at all. The entire stadium was Bears fans.
It was all Bears.
I was watching Colts fans leave the game before the ceremony was done. Barely even excited. I'm like, dude, I got more excited for Hester's run than you guys just did for winning the whole thing.
here's the coach with Coach Dungy.
Tony, how about this performance by your team tonight?
I'm so proud of our guys. You know, we took the hit early with Devin Hester, but we talked about it. We said there's going to be a storm. We said the Lord doesn't always bring you directly through. Sometimes you got to work for it. And our guys just hung tough.
Sarah, why does the Lord hate the Bears? Why was the Lord on the Indianapolis Colts side, I want to know?
You know what? I was asking the Lord that myself last night. You know, this isn't the ending to this fairy tale that I was hoping for.
God hates the Bears and apparently all Bear fans.
Yeah, I guess.
It looks like it. Well,
maybe
what an
something else to live for. I mean, those suckers in Indianapolis, what else they've got going for them? Like, redecorating their trailer park? Who knows?
Whoa! It has been an unbelievable couple of weeks for you, hasn't it, Sarah? You must be, in some way kind of glad it's over, but man, what a ride, huh?
Yeah, I mean, let's hope it's not all over, but it's been absolutely crazy, and this weekend was so amazing up until that last bit.
Until when the team lost that part.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah Spain, thanks for coming back on. I'm glad you're able to talk at all this morning after what you went through yesterday. We appreciate it very much, right?
Sure, you guys have a good day.
Thanks. See you later.
As we welcome you back to the Super Bowl today, as we continue live from South Florida, folks, what would a Super Bowl tailgating experience be like without great party food? And whom better to help us satisfy
JB's
those
excited.
I've been asking about it. Hey, who better to help us than celebrity chef Bobby Flay as we welcome him to the Super Bowl
Thanks
today?
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, partner.
Well, you know, Miami's done a great job hosting the Super Bowl over the weekend. Great parties. You know, stone crabs, Cuban cuisine, lots of mojitos.
Gator tail.
Gator tail, exactly. But now it's time to let Indianapolis and Chicago take over from a food standpoint, and we're going to make some quick snacks from those two cities.
Okay, so they have a celebrity chef on who's going to show you how to make foods that are popular in Indiana and Illinois for your Super Bowl party. That's what they're doing in the pregame show of the Super Bowl yesterday.
You made that up.
I'm afraid I didn't.
That is good for you. Together. That is, there's no possible way that was real.
That was part of the Super Bowl pregame show. Hey, do you have any of the gator tail? Apparently gator tail is big in South Florida. You have any of that while you're down there?
Hey, got any gator tail? No one eats that down here.
That was incredibly gay.
Yes. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. A pair of tickets for the red carpet world premiere of The Number 23. This is the new Jim Carrey film opening in theaters nationwide on February 23rd. Plus, we're going to throw in a pair of tickets to join Lightning at the NHRA Winter Nationals on Sunday, February 11th at the AAA Raceway at Pomona. So you get all of that just for being on for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. All right. Why don't we start with Alex in Burbank. Hey, Alex. You're on the Kevin Means Sean Kerouac. What to Do Nephew?
Yo, yo, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Yeah, one of the guys that was on How to Catch a Predator, he went to high school with me.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? We had a friend who, that we saw a video of him on YouTube, and it was him doing that kind of stuff. And you just go, oh, my God, I talked to that guy. I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was in band, and I played football. So, you know, we would see each other, like, during practice.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I found out yesterday at my buddy's Super Bowl party that he was on. I didn't see the actual episode, but I found out yesterday
that he was on. I'll tell you that. Dean, yes?
Hello?
Yeah. The other weird thing that we were talking to him about was that the same guy got caught twice. That's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen before, is that a guy who got caught by To Catch a Predator once got caught again. That's spectacularly stupid.
That guy is too horny for his own good. That's what was going on there, I think. We had some listeners who called up who knew the guy who was working for Nickelodeon that got busted on last week's show down in Long Beach, too. Thank you for the call, Alex. Let's move along. 1-800-520-1067. Tracy has a great question, by the way, that none of us have thought to ask. Tracy from Sun Valley, what it do?
What it do?
Well, what it do, nephew?
So I have a question. Whatever happened to the guy who was supposed to propose to his girlfriend on a commercial in the Super Bowl?
I went to that guy's website yesterday, and the last update that had been on was he didn't think the commercial was going to play during the game, which led me to believe that maybe it was going to be play, you know, in the post-game interviews or something like that. But I watched the show to the end. I never saw it happen. You guys remember how much publicity this dude got? He was going to propose to his girlfriend in a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
And some sponsor had stepped forward and said that they were going to, you know, they were going to spiff him for it. They were going to pay for the time, but it somehow must have fallen apart or something.
Mm. I can't imagine why they would have. I mean, I guess you could get a little goodwill out of it or something, but I'm glad it didn't happen. We were prepared to hate that guy, remember? And he was kind of cool. He seemed like he was okay, you know? He wasn't the douche we thought.
Exactly. We thought he was going to be another in these long line of Lightning-esque guys who have to make everything that they do bigger than everything else that everybody else does. But he actually didn't seem to be approaching it that way. So, I don't know what happened, though. Tracy, I'm glad you called about that.
All right.
Let's keep going, and let's go down to Fullerton and talk to Dasabi. Hey! Dasabi, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
Hey, yeah, so I was valeting at this party yesterday, and they sent me to go get them some sodas. And I needed to get gas for my car, so I go to the gas station. This little kid walks up to me. He's no older than 10, 11 years old. He's like, hey, can you buy me and my friends a pack of cigs? And I didn't want to buy it, so I lied to him, and I said, hey, you know, I don't have my ID. I go inside, pay, and I got to go around back to use the bathroom. And I walk back there, and him and his little friends, like, come up to me, like, hey, what are you going to lie for? And they start coming up to me, and they start punching me and start jumping me. I'm like,
fantastic.
Are you serious? I was like, are these kids serious? They're, like, 10, 11 years old, and they're sitting here punching me. I'm just standing there for a while, like, is this supposed to hurt? Because I'm, like, and then eventually after, like, you know, 5 minutes, I'm, like, start pushing them away, kind of shooing them like little flies. I was like, freaking little kids are trying to jump me for some cigarettes.
That's awesome. A little gang of little 10-year-old just acting all tough.
And it's making it even worse. They're in San Juan Capistrano. Like, there's no ghetto there.
Dasabi, how does it make you feel that 10-year-olds scoped you out as a guy they could probably take?
It's new for me because before I used to be the guy being like, hey, can you buy me some alcohol? Can you buy me this?
Yeah.
And then now I'm the guy, like, the older guy, like, hey, can you buy me this? I'm like, No,
punk, get away from me.
Funny. Thanks for the call. Hang on for your prizes. Let's do one more. And Kevin, I know you didn't see this show, but I swear to God, Philip from Riverside is not making it up. This is something that actually aired on television that people could receive in their homes yesterday. Philip, you're on the air. What's up?
How you do?
How you do?
Thank you. Yeah, it was a Puppy Bowl 2.
Oh, no.
Yes. I was flipping the channel last night about 9 o'clock, and it was still on. And there it is, in a football stadium-looking playpen, like about a dozen puppies just doing what puppies do, tackling each other.
Yeah, they're just running around and playing, right? It's just like a camera on a group of puppies,
yeah.
right?
Yep. Yes. And they aired it, if I understand correctly, Philip, they aired it all day long, like from kickoff until well into the postgame. They just aired this on the Animal Planet. They just aired this Puppy Bowl. And they have, I saw a minute of it, but do they have like some sort of play-by-play guy or something, or do they don't even do that?
No, occasionally there's crowd noise, and occasionally it'll get louder, you know, when somebody gets tackled, one of the dogs, puppies tackles one each other, and then...
What kind of play-by-play would they have? Be like, hey, that puppy looks like he's having some fun. Huh?
Well, because sometimes they'll, like, pick up a toy and they'll walk in a certain direction, and I didn't know if they'd try to make it seem like the guy was trying to score or something like that. But, yeah,
here's the only question that I have about that show. Psycho Mike, how much time did you spend watching that
TV
show?
As you know, yesterday I spent most of my day at the Casino Morongo, which was fantastic. The party was awesome. I only caught about 15 to 20 minutes when I did get home from the casino. I immediately put on Animal Planet, and I tell you, that Puppy Bowl is fantastic. Fantastic. I was so disappointed that I didn't get to watch more of it, because if I tried to put on Animal Planet at the Casino Morongo party, I would have been lynched.
And so, rightfully so, by the way.
But, I love it. So what, dude? Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
I don't know how they work this out, because it's a team sport, I think the Bulldog ended up winning the thing, and I don't know how they chose a winner on that. Maybe you most yardage scored.
You vote for your favorite puppy as the MVP.
Bean, I'll tell you.
No, you don't. You don't vote for your favorite puppy.
Yes,
you
do. That's what they said.
No, you don't.
You go to Animal Planet, and you vote with your heart. That's what
I
you
so hate
vote
that,
with
Mike.
Your heart.
I hate you with every part of me.
Philip, hang on for your movie tickets and your international tickets. Thank you very much. There you go, Mike. When's your birthday? You got that coming up. That's great.
DVD.
Puppy Bowl 2. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC.
Enjoying the lemonade.
Chris Hansen.
Nice to meet you, isn't it?
What's wrong? What's going on? What are you upset about?
No. Sit down. Have a margarita.
Dateline Catch the Predator. That airs tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on NBC. Also, thanks to our pal Putty, actor Patrick Warburton, back with a new series called Rules of Engagement that airs tonight at 9:30 after 2.5 Men on CBS. And thanks to Lakers play-by-play guy Spiro Dittus for joining us on today, too. Lakers have a game against the Atlanta Hawks this afternoon, if you want to check that out.
I'd also like to take a second to thank the Spanish broadcasting system where we're broadcasting from. Bean, I got to tell you, every place we go, they have like a first-class operation. Uh-huh. These guys are not the same company that we are. If they had a station in Los Angeles, we should work there. That's what I would tell you right now.
Why don't we just learn how to speak Spanish and move to the station in Miami? It sounds like they've got it going on.
These guys, like, Jose's the guy that's been helping us. It's not that he can't fix things. It's that nothing goes wrong because he's so thorough. I don't know how to deal with it. It's so bizarre. Like, I just keep sitting looking around like something's got to break here in a minute just so we can test him out. Nothing breaks. Everything's perfect.
Well, it is very generous of them. They don't know us from anyone, you know, to let Whitey come in and set up in their studio for a couple of days. We very much appreciate their hospitality in Miami.
Very cool. And tomorrow morning, we've got another all-new Kevin and Bean show. You've had sex with a mom and daughter or a dad and son. We're going to try to tackle that topic tomorrow morning. Also, Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, is on the program. And don't forget, we have Grammy tickets. Each day this week, we're going to give you Grammy tickets for this Sunday night's Grammys. You cannot buy those tickets, but you can win them on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning.
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. How about Starlight by Muse? How about Hunger Strike from Temple of the Dog? Miss Murder from AFI? Santeria from Sublime? And the new one from the band called The Sick Puppies? Sorry, Animal Planet. It's all coming up straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.